Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bill Polian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
What are you going to do today?
Whatever I feel like I want to do. God.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
What the heck are you guys doing? Trying to ruin my life to make me look like a freaking idiot?
Paul Perillo.
I see you're drinking 1%. Is that because you think you're fat?
And Andy. And Andy?
Are you going to eat your tots?
Andy Hart.
Give me some of your tots.
No, go find your own.
Come on, give me some of your tots.
No, I'm freaking starved. I didn't get to eat anything today.
Eric Scalavino.
Aren't you pretty good at drawing, like, animals and warriors and stuff?
Yes. Probably the best that I know of.
For now, anyway.
It took me like 3 hours to finish the shading on your upper lip. It's probably the best drawing I've ever done.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Back in 82, I used to be able to throw a pigskin 4 miles. How much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over the mountains? A coach would have put me in the fourth quarter. We'd have been state champions. I'd have gone pro, you know, soaking it up in a hot tub with my soulmate.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Fred Kirsch, Andy Hart, Paul Perillo, Doc in the booth. We're ready to go for another 2 minutes here. 2 minutes? It's gonna be 2 hours.
That's about all you can give.
That's about all I can do today. 2 hours from noon to two. And yesterday we talked a lot about the London trip. Today we'll talk some football. Although it is the bye, very quiet around here. Patriots will be on the practice field, but it does have an air of quiet here at the stadium.
Very much so.
You know, it's interesting because being the bye week, you see a lot of, like, the repair carts around. I guess they planned on, you know, this would be a good week to do some fix-it-up jobs around the stadium. So guys are out there kind of, you know, refurbishing, and I don't know what they're doing, really. I really have no idea.
They're fixing.
They're fixing.
Fixing,
things.
Refurbishing.
Yeah.
Whatnot.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Webradio@patriots.com, 508-543-7482. Today, one of our listeners, William Roeder, was so kind to give us lunch, and he said he wanted to make it special. So I guess they're bringing it from Davio's?
That's unbelievable.
That's
over-the-top generous. Unbelievable.
Davio's is one of the restaurants here at Patriot Place. It's a high-end steakhouse. So can't wait to see what's coming with that. So we'll get to William's email a little later when we start reading emails, but that is incredible. Thank you, Mr. Roeder from North Carolina. So that's great.
I was wondering where Andy
went. Andy's here with food, you know, just the hell with everybody else.
So much for the buffet and sharing.
Wow, it smells really
good.
There's
a buffet out there.
It smells really good.
Steaks.
All right.
Tuna, salmon.
Well, Doc will get us plates, and he'll make plates for us because Andy only thinks about himself. You know,
I'll make my own plate, Doc. Don't worry about
it. Paul and I will do the show, and
Paul
Andy
will have the salmon.
Would you try some salmon, Paul?
No, I wouldn't.
No? You don't like fish? No.
There's scallops, too.
All right.
Are they wrapped in bacon?
It's a mollusk.
Well, some news. We heard that Brandon Merriweather was named the defensive player of the week.
Yes.
Tom Brady was named today the AFC Offensive Player of the Month, which is pretty cool, you know, mostly for this week and the week before against Tennessee. I was a little surprised, though, because, you know, Breeze had a pretty good – well, he's in the NFC.
Everyone sucks but me.
So he wouldn't win the AFC.
I said to Eric, it's going to be funny. We spent the first month and a half questioning Brady's rust, his health, he's, you know, coming back from – but history will show. His first game back, he was AFC Offensive Player of the Week.
Right.
His fourth or fifth game, he was AFC Offensive Player of the Week, and his second month, he was AFC Offensive Player of the Month.
Right.
Like, just the facts, like the line in the record book, looks right. Like he came off the surgery with no problem.
But, and it
15
also,
touchdowns, two interceptions. Like,
and it also shows how much, of course, we're focused on this one team. You know, from the outside world, Brady, what, this is what, his third 300-yard game against the Bucs? Third or fourth this year, I think.
At least three.
At
you
least
know,
three.
You know, so, you know, from any other, you know, standard, wow, this guy's having a great season. But we're so focused and we know what he's done. And the last time we saw was 2007. But he's got 15 touchdowns and four interceptions.
Right. He's tied with – everybody was saying how great Manning was, like – 3 weeks ago, like he's at his
right,
know, and they have the same touchdowns, 15 touchdowns.
Right.
Yeah. The difference is that Brady did it all in one game, whereas Manning has done it over the course of the season.
Right.
And that's, you know, and even Bill talked about that a little bit today, which I thought, by the way, Fred, an excellent question from Andy. You know, talking about the 59-0 game, because Bill has made several references to that game in terms of being careful with it and not taking, you know, you'll never see anything like that. The unique nature of that 59-0 game where everything was perfect. And Andy asked him, do you have to be kind of careful when you're doing your self-scouting to not read too much into the numbers that come out of that game? And Bill said, yeah, you do, because the numbers were so extraordinary. And
the Titans were so stinky.
Right, but you couple in the weather and everything else about it. It was just one kind of isolated game. So in that regard, you know, you do have to kind of be careful how much you take out of that game.
It's like in the Olympics, they throw out the best score and the lowest score. You know, you got to probably throw out that game and maybe, well, what's the worst
game? The Jets game.
The Jets game, right?
You know?
Yeah. That makes sense. So, yeah, Brady was named the offensive AFC player of the month. Ben Watson having a great year so far. For a tight end.
I'm in such a good mood with this Davio spread, Fred. You can't even get me involved in that.
I got into a big argument with Paul and Andy. Of course, they took the negative side.
We didn't.
I think Ben Watson's having a pretty good year for a tight end in this league this year.
He's having a pretty good year for Ben Watson. He's 24th, I believe, in receptions for a tight end.
He's tied for second in the AFC for touchdowns. He's got four touchdowns, which really is all that matters. You know, you want to score. He's blocking really well, helping out in all the other aspects of the game, you know, besides just receiving. I think he's playing very well. I can't complain. God knows we've complained enough about Ben Watson over the years, but I think this year he's playing okay. These guys don't think so. So
I think he's playing fine.
No. I'm exaggerating.
Is he playing okay, or is he having a good year for any tight end? Because that's what you said in the office.
I think for a tight end in the NFL, he's having a pretty good year, yeah.
Well, I think he's having a good year for Watson.
For Christian Fourier, for Chris Baker, for middling tight ends.
I don't know. I never saw Christian Fourier make a catch like he did week one against the Bills. That was a pretty darn good catch.
Okay, so now we're basing it on one play.
No, but I'm just saying that, among other things, he's been doing pretty well. You know?
Okay. He was drafted to catch 80 passes a year.
I understand, but our expectations of Ben Watson have gone down dramatically since he was drafted.
Which is why I think he's having a good, solid year.
When
he was drafted,
we were told and we thought, hey, this guy might be one of the best of all time. He might be one of the best in the league. He's got all the tools. We don't think that way anymore. Now we're looking for a good year for a tight end in this league, and I think he's having it. Thanks, Doc. So, you know, I think I'm good. I think, you know, I have to be I'm happy with what I see out of Ben Watson so far. I'd like to see Chris Baker get more involved in the offense.
Well, he's really a forgotten guy that I think we all thought was going to be a red zone target, catch some touchdowns, be a part of this offense, and he has been a non-factor.
Well, and I don't know, you know, he hasn't been targeted a lot, or he just hasn't been open. He was targeted, and Brady hasn't seen him open. It might be a trust factor at this point. I don't see him getting a lot of opportunity yet.
I don't know if it's a trust. I mean, they raved about the play they drew up on the sideline, the adjustment he made for his 36-yard touchdown. So combine that with earlier in the training camp, I felt like he had earned trust. Like, they were pretty comfortable with what he was going to be, and it hasn't really played out in terms of production.
Well, I mean, Brady's going to go where he, you know, thinks he has the best opportunity. You can't really argue right now with the production. You know, Welker leads the league in receptions. Moss is number three in receptions. So it's not like, you know, the Patriots aren't producing. You can only have so many catches in a game. You know, so, you know, it just might be a numbers thing where, you know, Baker isn't, you know. It's
so
not...
do you still think he'll be a contributing factor of this offense?
I do.
When maybe they play a good defense and you got to get to option number 4 or 5
do.
On the list?
Yep, I do.
I'm just a little surprised.
Yeah.
I'm mildly surprised that he's been so quiet.
Well, you know, you mentioned red zone. That's one area where the Patriots still have a lot of improvement to go. I think there might be in the bottom third as far as red zone offense production. I'm not sure about that. That's where, you know, you do want to get production from your tight ends and where we thought that Chris Baker might contribute a little bit more. So we'll see. A lot of games left, another 9 games left in the season. I'm predicting in this second part of the season that the Patriots are going to go 7-2.
Yes, you are. While we're clearing up things you've said that have kind of caused controversy with Paul and Andy, on our TV show, and I'm sure many of our fans have watched this now, you are – oh, no, it wasn't our TV show. Was it the Friday at 5? I mean, the Friday newscast? We taped something with Neckin in which you are ready to – you know, you're very comfortable with Lawrence Maroney, want to see him handle the ball down the stretch, feeling good about the running game. And I want to call you out on that because on this very show, I believe 2 to 3 weeks ago, you cut all ties with Lawrence Maroney, moved on, gave up on him. 7 carries, 6 yards. He was dancing on kickoffs. You were ready to send him out to pasture.
Well, you know, here, and I'm not saying that I wasn't, but here is my mentality. I can cut ties with somebody. Let's just say that my son just was screwing up in school. I just say, you know what, I've given up on you. If he fights his ass off to get back in good graces, I'm going to absolutely accept him back. I'm not going to turn my back on him forever. I'm all about redemption.
But if he gets an A on one test, you say, well, I think he's going to get A's moving forward?
No.
Say he got C's for 6 years in a row. Why do I think he's an A student now?
Heck yes.
I'd ask him if he cheated on that test.
But I'm going to admit, hey, okay. You know, I want to see more, obviously. I'm not calling Lawrence Maroney the best running back in the AFC right now. But
he's had one good stretch of games as a Patriot. It was the end of the 2007 season.
I think
season.
He's running better. I think Bill Belichick agrees with me.
He did.
I think we're seeing...
Only you cited him before he said what he said.
Right. I think we're seeing signs of, you know...
I never said that.
Optimism when it comes to Lawrence Maroney. You know, now... Is he ever going to be what we thought he was going to be? Probably not, because, you know, in this league, running backs usually establish themselves pretty quickly.
What's Parcells say? If it doesn't bite as a puppy or
right,
whatever.
If they don't bite as a puppy, they're probably not going to do it when they're a dog. And that is particularly true for that position. You know, wide receiver may be a little different. Quarterback obviously is a little different. But running backs, that's one position where you can come into the league and pretty much do it right away because it's so instinctual. You either have it or you don't. So I'm not thinking that, you know, all of a sudden things are going to pop for Lawrence Maroney and he's going to become, you know, one of the top producers. But, you know, this team needs him right now, particularly, you know, with Fred Taylor hurt, Sammy Morris banged up. So I think that, you know, Belichick, it's in his interest to at least encourage this guy right now to, you know, in – see what they can get out of him. And I think they can get a couple more 100-yard games this season out of him. And
so do I, because that's what he's done over his career. I just don't think you're willing to say he's going to be a key part of leading this offense to the promised land.
Well,
that key part is 3 people, Brady, Moss, and Wilson.
Well, I think the offensive line has to step up, too. I don't think that, you know, all the time that they do as good a job as they should be. And part of that is maybe, you know, they have such a pass mentality that, you know, they're not a run-blocking crew, but they need to get that mentality. You know, when the play call is run, they need to open up that hole. You know, and
what is this white
you know, we criticize Maroney a lot for not hitting the hole. One of the and then other people criticize him for not being creative enough when the hole's not there. You know, so he's got all this stuff probably going through his mind where, you know, whether or not the hole's there, I need to just hit it straight up. But he's probably also thinking, but I have the ability to make things happen. So he's probably torn. But I think if he saw a little bit more of a crease from his offensive line, I think that would help him, you know, with his decision making.
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm just going with the 4 years of history and not the 123 yards 2 weeks ago. I'm sorry.
And I'm going by what happens.
Seen this show too many times.
I'm going by what happens when the other running backs are in. And it seems like the other guys with the same blockers in front of them tend to produce more. And well, more consistent.
Luckily, Sammy Morris is out because he has always been the poster child of the anti-Maroney. Getting yards whenever he's in there, taking every opportunity and gaining four or more yards.
And I continue to like Maroney. I think that he is, I don't think he's a stiff. People, I think there's a difference between not living up to the first round status and not having any value whatsoever. I think he has value, and I think he's, still can be a good player. I just don't think he is ever going to be what we all thought he was going to be back in his rookie year. When he broke out of the gates with those big plays and the electrifying runs and the famous touchdown run against Cincinnati where he stiff-armed Madeu Williams on the way to the end zone. I don't think he's ever consistently going to be that kind of a productive back. I just don't think it's in him. I don't think he has it. But that doesn't mean he's a stiff and will never be a contributor. I think he is a contributor.
Well, we'll see. I'm hoping. I'm not saying that I didn't say I give up on him. I did say that. I was upset.
You didn't mean it.
And really, what the tipping point for me was the same tiptoeing we see. Running the ball, he did it on kickoffs, and that was something at least we could fall back and say, well, he's a pretty good kickoff returner. He started doing it on kickoffs, and I was like, oh, that's it. Mentally, he's lost it. But something happened. I thought, over the last couple games. I see some signs. Maybe somebody got to him. I don't know.
But haven't you thought that at least a half dozen times over the years?
Yep.
That's my only point.
But this is it.
Most notably, the end of the 07 season, he was dynamite.
Yeah.
In December of 07, he was a really, really good running back, and he brought that into the playoffs with him. I think he had, 400-yard games in 6 weeks?
Including back-to-back 122s in the playoffs.
Really, really running hard in the bad weather when you really needed it. But, again, the consistency has escaped him ever since he's been in the league.
I was on board with it then. Even the Giants game, you remember, he didn't have a lot of yards, but he ran well. That whole, basically an eight-week span in December, or 6 to 8 weeks, he was very good. But that's my point. Even that, he never built off of and made that who he is at the NFL level. There's been too much of the other, the dancing, the missed holes, missed opportunities. He comes in, gets 2 yards. Morris comes in and gets 6. So
yep.
I'm not quite ready to say I am a believer.
Well, it would be interesting to see, what would happen if one game he was the back and he got 20, 25 carries. If he was one of those guys that would pop one, he'd end up with 100 yards, maybe a lot of 1 yard, 2 yard runs, but then he pops ones to bring the average up.
But you can't.
Because
he's not the focal point of the offense.
I know.
And it would be at a detriment to the rest of the offense.
I understand, but maybe that's the kind of running back he needs to be.
Because I told Paul, I think his 123 yards was accidental, because I'm not sure he was going to be the guy in that game. Isn't that the game Sammy Morris got hurt? I thought Sammy Morris was the guy that was going to get the opportunities early in that game. He got hurt. Maroney had to come in. Rest of the story is, great game for him, one of his 100-yard efforts. I'm not sure that was going to be him.
Well, but, you got to take advantage of the opportunity when it happens. And
yeah,
give
but
him
let's not paint it
that.
Like he hasn't had the opportunities over the years. He's had the opportunities. He's never maximized his chances, ever. Right? That's what Ben Watson's doing right now, maximizing his chances.
True.
Limited opportunities, making the most of them.
Yep.
Ben Watson, this year.
I think that's exactly right. That's why I think Ben Watson is having a good year. Because I don't think that he's been tremendously having a larger role in the offense. I think that when the ball's been thrown his direction, he's made the most of it. And that's why he's got a couple of big plays in, 4 touchdowns, you say?
Yep.
4 touchdowns. Yeah, he's been a good player. Maroney basically was all one game and all one run, really.
All right, so apart from Watson and Maroney, we need to talk about this wide receiver situation because right now, as we know, Welker and Moss are 1 and 2. Aiken had a good game against the Buccaneers, but what are they going to do for the third and fourth receiver? Is Brandon Tate somebody that we should be counting on to contribute in a meaningful way?
I think you're going to have to if you want depth after those top two guys. I think it was pretty telling that you know, all this Sam Aiken talk that immediately when Brandon Tate had the ability to be activated, he was activated. And he was on the field. And I wouldn't say a huge part, but he was part of the offense. You know, after really having very little practice time, and Bill talked about it, Brady talked about it, Wes Welker talked about it, how tough that is to just come right in off the, you know, 2, 3, 4 practices and get out there and contribute. And he was able to do that. I think that tells you what the coaches think of the rest of the crew.
And I think, you know, they agree wholeheartedly with you, Paul, because one of the first things they did with Tate is give him the ball, get him into the game, let him get hit. You know, there's no better way to, you know, shake off the nervousness and the butterflies than to do something right away and get hit early in the game. And I think that was part of the plan. It was by no mistake that they decided, let's get him the ball early. You know, if he screws up, at least it's early in the game. Right. But also to serve as a way to get him, you know, acclimated to the speed of the game.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think you're right. And I think with him, we all said it all during the draft process. He was a first-round talent. So the ability's there. It's whether or not he was going to be able to make it back physically, and then if he did, where would he be mentally once he was ready physically? Well, it looks like physically he's back. We'll have to find out about mentally if he knows all his assignments and his adjustments and whatnot, because his role is probably going to expand over the next couple of games unless Edelman comes back a lot quicker than we would, you would think with a broken arm. I would think he's going to miss at least a few games with that.
Right.
As a wide receiver, I think, you know, right. I got to think it'd be tough to play
right.
with a broken arm. So I think Brandon Tate is going to be a guy that's going to have to step up and be, not a focal point, but a part of the offense.
Yep. Well, it'll be interesting because he definitely has the speed. He's dynamic, you know, also in the return game. So we'll see what happens. All right. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get to some of your emails and calls here at PFW in Progress.
Okay, so to recap, these are last year's sales results, and here's how we stand now. I need some clutch players who can get us some numbers up on the board. Ted.
Yes, sir.
In the fourth quarter.
Fourth quarter.
We've come from behind in the fourth quarter before. Ted.
What?
I need you here in a shotgun. Put on this helmet.
It's a garbage can.
Do it.
But it's dark in here.
Susan.
Yes?
What? You're going to reverse right and then break left at the cubicle.
What?
I am.
Let's go!
Mr. Krevelin?
That was awkward.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots Banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots Banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
You got it?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
What?
You can take the trash can off now.
What?
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services N.A. Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2009 Bank of America Corporation.
Hello?
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting. at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Patriots, PFW in progress.
PFW in progress on patriots.com with Jake Steele, Portly Paul Perillo, Eric Scalavino, and Andy the Idiot Hart. Online and out of bounds at patriots.com.
All right, PFW in progress. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. And we're just feasting on Davios from William Roeder. Thank you so much, William.
Incredible, William. Thank you very much.
Andy can't talk because his mouth's full.
Another plate for Andy. Let me get this William's email. Gentlemen, he says, I have given some thought to one feature that I would, I think would make a nice addition to your show and paper. Would you consider leveraging your access to Coach Belichick by allowing fans with particularly interesting, insightful questions to have them asked to the coach by you during regular press conferences?
I was actually thinking about this the other day.
Someone could come up with a cool name for this, unlike lame fan forum. Obviously, you would be under no obligation to ask any question. However, I was at a conference over the weekend, and it has been proven that groups are more intelligent than the smartest of their members. In some select solicited questions, might that aspect of your job might make that aspect of your jobs more remarkable. So, well, I mean, it's possible. I know they do that on EEI. They have a question for the coach that they end each segment with when Belichick's on there.
I'm not sure we could do it in the press conference.
No, I can't wait.
We could definitely try to incorporate it.
He also goes on, anyway, I'm in my late 30s, and I really enjoyed the recently screened full-color hit football, The History of the American Football League, on Showtime. Till now, I had no idea why the Lamar Hunt Trophy nor the Browns were so named, and lacked appreciation for the historical contributions of Hank Stram, John Madden, and even Al Davis. I particularly enjoyed seeing Coach Belichick's segments, during which he was as engaged and enthusiastic as I have seen him in a sit-down interview situation. Particularly as it is bye week, I wondered if you might ask Coach whether he was able to find the final product and his thoughts on it. What's the final product?
That documentary.
Also, what?
That's something we might be able to ask. Maybe not till next week because we don't have access tomorrow. But that's like a Friday question, I think.
Yeah.
You could ask him about
that. What did
he think
about the AFL thing? Also, what books he might recommend on the subject of NFL or AFL history? Idea alert. Personally, I'd encourage Coach Belichick to pen his own NFL AFL history when he decides to step away from coaching. Perhaps you all might know an author interested in working on that with him.
Going back to the 40s with Paul.
Well, that's going to be Andy and I's project, yes.
Right.
We're going to be writing the Bill story. He's just going to tell us stories and we're going to put them into words.
Sure. Not necessarily the history of the AFL, but it'll be his involvement in pro football.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was thinking
even about as good a chance of doing that.
I just want the Patriots years.
Yeah, along for the ride. Team PFW rode along with Bill Belichick to every game he ever coached. Sit down and put a book together.
You know, except the Super Bowl, I wasn't there for that one.
That's not bad, though, Andy.
Well,
we've literally been talking about this. We're actually hoping a couple more of the real media die off, so we'll be the only ones here for the entire era of Bill Belichick.
Along for the ride.
Yeah.
But I think we should sew that up now.
Work on it. No, you're not working on it.
No, don't you.
Your last book ventured in. There's still gazes of those out back.
That's a cheap shot.
It sold just as many as those other sports books.
Well, I told you, I learned a lesson last week when perusing the top 10 sports books of the year, and if you sell like 8,000, you're in the top 10 for the year.
Right.
There was one book, the Joe Torre book, had 300,000. Second place was like 28,000. Precipitous drop-off. Yeah. You don't have to do much to be a sports book.
It's a very
yourself.
Select
but
audience.
But you do hurt our feelings, though, because sometimes, I know that, you know, especially Andy. Andy has a million ideas, but once in a while we throw stuff out there and it's off base. But there are times where we have some valid ideas too, and you don't ever listen to us.
We use them.
You hurt my feelings.
Whenever you have a good idea, we do.
Yeah, wasn't it Andy's idea about the international subscription?
Not really.
It's unbelievable. That's what happens, too.
The Brian Morey of our staff. Now Brian's gone. He can't take credit for the ideas.
You know what? That is the Brian Morey way right there.
Well,
and that hurt right there.
If you ask Carol Hardy, we've been talking about that for a while. But
yeah, after Andy brought it up on the show.
I say I've been here 10 years, so.
So, no, I mean, I've been toying with the
first
whole...
5 years, Carol told me, can't do that. Kind of like when I asked her to get, can I get a subscription so I can go online? And no, you can't do that. You don't order a subscription.
Did you hear what happened yesterday when she tried to do that to Fred? And Fred just said, just do it.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden it happened.
It's kind of how it works around here.
But you mentioned international subscriptions. People can have PFW online only. You don't have to pay for the whole newspaper to be sent overseas and get it late. You can sign up at pfwonline.com. Yeah, and I think it's $29.95. You get every issue, online access, as soon as it's done by us, as well as the yearbook when it's printed, sent to you wherever you live around the world. So that's a good deal.
Word.
I think that was a great idea.
So you might actually get the yearbook during the current season.
I mentioned it yesterday. I think 4 people signed up.
Excellent. Get 4 more today.
Amazing what happens when you advertise. We've been telling you that for years, too.
Well, nothing stops you from when you go on your many things.
I always include it.
Always stuff out there.
The first time I gave the wrong number because I didn't know it.
That doesn't help. Yeah.
I think I ordered some tailgate passes across the street.
All right. 1-800-49. What am I saying? That is the
1-800-494-PATS.
That's to subscribe, but to call the show, it's 508-543-7482.
Indeed.
I feel a little off today.
I feel a little off because I got a steak just plopped in my belly, and I'm ready for nappy time.
But maybe it's because of the bye. We don't have a game that we're looking forward to this weekend.
No, yeah. You have a big lacrosse tournament you're looking forward to.
Got a lacrosse tournament at Harvard this weekend.
Harvard?
Sunday.
They're going to allow you on campus?
Yeah. Harvard.
Really?
Harvard. So.
You meaning what? Who does he say? Chaz?
Tag.
Chaz and Chip.
The whole lot.
Maybe Eric can loan you a sweater so you fit in.
Oh, cashmere. Crew neck, maybe.
Yes.
You need a V-neck so you can show a little hair.
I couldn't get into one of Eric's sweaters.
No way.
That would
fat
look
fat guy in a little cashmere.
You would claim that you wore that size, but ain't happening. Yeah,
you really shouldn't be in 36 pants.
All right. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. How do you get sweaters over your head without ruining them?
That's why most of my sweaters have a little 3 buttons at the top.
Yeah. You know how they have V-necks? He has to have a U-neck in order to get it on.
I love when he does those.
I'm not sure it really makes sense.
Well, it's rounded. It doesn't come to a point.
It makes me laugh. That's
all.
More
room
for
your head.
Right.
You know. All right. Doc, you got anything? Oh, he wants me to plug after the show today, our show. Chris Price will be filling in for John Rook at 2 o'clock for Patriots Playbook.
Rook's got football again?
Chris Price, he's of EEI now.
Yes, EEI.com.
WEEI.com.
And,
published author of a number of books.
He's going to have guests Peter King.
Peter King.
From SI and ESPN's Russell Baxter.
You know I don't speak Spanish.
So he's going to have Peter King and Russell Baxter at 2
King.
O'clock. So what time will Mr. King be on?
2:15.
I might have to tune in for that.
Why?
Just to hear what he has to say. Peter's
he never says anything. Because he always starts every sentence with, I'm not saying.
I know, but he's always an interesting interview. So,
2
o'clock, Chris Price.
All of a great Christmas or whatever that cliche
that's
is.
That's tomorrow interview, live in studio, right?
The Peter King one?
Yeah.
It might have been. I don't remember.
So at 2 o'clock, Chris Price will be filling in for John Rook, and he'll have Peter King and Russell Baxter. And, of course, at 4 o'clock today is Lowdown.
I'm not the brightest guy in the world.
With Brian Lowe.
A lot of dumb people coming up on BFW Progress. Self-proclaimed dumb.
So, you know, this week you can't play any of your Patriots people, so a lot of people are scrambling to fill their rosters for fantasy football this week.
I bet there are a lot of our listeners scrambling because they go heavy on the Moss, Welker, Brady, whatever.
I never thought of that, but I'm sure that is the case.
Yeah, see, I know a little bit about the fantasy.
I know nothing about the fantasy.
No.
Club fantasy?
What club? No. All right.
You're going to read emails?
Yeah. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508.
One more time. Thank you to
William Roeder.
William Roeder. Yes, I did.
Yeah. TG and NJ says, hey, Andy and Paulie, so when you get an idea, you have to find a way to make Fred think it was his idea in order for it to be implemented.
Exactly.
Is that how it works?
Yep.
But how does that explain the soap with a slot?
That was Fred's idea.
That was his. That's why it came crashing down.
They're not taking credit for that one.
Nope. We want no part of that one.
Right. Let's see. Murray from Halifax, Nova Scotia says, hey, guys, just wondering if you've heard of Coach Belichick is taking advantage of the bye week to perhaps get the players vaccinated for H1N1. It's hit a few teams, and I'd hate to see the Pats have to play the Colts or the Saints while suffering from the flu.
It's so ridiculous.
I didn't ask that specific question, but when I asked him about H1N1, he said they were very much ahead of the curve, started last spring in their preparations for that with the medical staff and the league guidelines. So I don't know specifically, but I think they're pretty comfortable with where they are.
Just so you know, I wouldn't want to play the Texans or the Panthers if that had gone through the locker room either.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with the caliber of opponent. If that hits, those guys aren't playing.
Right.
But the vaccinations are also limited.
Yeah.
There's major. Have you seen some of those pictures with lines out around the block? And
Hard time getting the proper amount.
So how did my kids get it? Like, Dieter just took them to the doctor and they got vaccinated at a normal appointment.
I know. Beth got hers.
What are all these clinics? Are these people trying to get it?
Little girl across the street has it.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah.
So get the hell out of here.
Yeah, the swine flu across the street.
I don't want any part of you.
Well, she's across the street. I didn't go over there.
Don't.
You know? But, yeah, it's people are getting it. I mean, around here, you know.
Your guy declared a public, whatever, emergency, national health emergency.
Well, I mean,
your guy does a lot of that.
We talk about nuclear weapons and all that, but that'll be what kills us, is some germ.
Probably.
That will, you know, wipe out the human race. So.
No emails over there, huh? Nothing.
No, we get plenty of emails. I'm just, you know.
Babbling, delaying.
You guys, you don't have any football you want to talk about? You just
it's the bye week. We were in the locker room. What do you want to know?
I mean, there was a lot of self-scouting talk today.
Right.
Talking about, looking at our own tendencies as well as the production of the plays and the different circumstances with which those plays are called, both offensively and defense, you know, against different fronts, against, different situations, runs, passes, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's kind of nuts and bolts football. Kind of at its most dull, if you ask me.
It's not a time to get happy or sad.
Yeah.
Time to get better or something.
Right.
You know, it's a very important time, I think, for the coaches, but I don't necessarily think it's a very exciting time for the fans.
Right. You know, speaking of self-scouting, I love Mike Reese, obviously. You know.
You gave him his start, Freddie.
But, smells like a Parcells compliment. I love Mike Reese, but.
Well, and he does a great job, like. Going in depth and
just say it.
Counting
Stop
plays.
Around.
No, listen,
say it.
Listen. Counting plays and tendencies and all that. And he does it all for the Patriots. But I was thinking.
No disrespect.
And not that these teams aren't doing it for themselves, but is he making things easier for opponents that we play?
No.
He never does it for the opponent. Like the same type of information. You know, like for example, we're going to play Miami. I think it would be cool. Maybe I'm giving him an idea. To come up with the same type of information from Miami. How many plays, is Ted Gidden on? Or, all the stuff that he does for the Patriots for the opponent every
week. How does he do that?
I don't know. Somebody's got to have it.
Right, but they're not necessarily going to give it to him. If he calls Tony Sperano and say, can I get your
personnel groupings?
Well,
he only does it after the game, not before the game.
I know, but Miami is playing the Jets this weekend.
Well, he could do it this particular week because it's a bye week.
Exactly.
But he can only do it one out of 17 weeks.
No, because if you have DirecTV, you could set your DVR, tape the game of the opponent we're going to play, and do the same type of homework.
Just right? Help Fred
so
out.
So he has to go out and get DirecTV so he can help the Patriots scout?
I think that if I was an NFL...
He's not helping anyone. They do it on their own.
No. First of all, I wouldn't take the information. Because I wouldn't take it to be accurate if I were working for Belichick. You think I would take something I saw on the internet and take it as gospel?
Oh, they look at but they verify it. But sometimes
exactly. So if you're going to do it yourself anyway, what's the difference?
But sometimes it gives them ideas. Oh, I should be looking at that. Then they say, oh, okay, that's right. That's good information. They look at everything, especially this team.
I know they
this
look
team
at everything.
Looks at
I'm
everything.
Talking about in terms of your data. I wouldn't take someone else's work as my own and pass it into Belichick. That doesn't sound like a good way to move up the ladder to me.
No, but I think that sometimes it gets you into a line of thinking that, oh, okay, let's look at, third down, what they were playing, 3-4, 4-3.
He doesn't give you that.
Sometimes he does. Sure,
no, he doesn't.
Does.
He tells you how many plays every player plays
and
with the formations that they're in. That's all.
Well, that's
doesn't tell you what down and distance it is. That's what they need. That's what the coaches need is – third and three, what were the percentage that they were in a 3-3-5 look as opposed to a 4-3 look?
I think from
Andy, help me out here.
I think from time to time Mike goes into that kind of stuff. He doesn't do it regularly.
He doesn't.
Mike doesn't do anything that the coaches don't do. He goes over the surface of what the low-level scouting assistants break down each and every week for the opposition and for their own team.
What Mike does is
excellent.
I don't
know where you think that Mike Reese and his little stats, which are very nice and very helpful,
excellent,
are in any way more than the minutia tip of the iceberg as to what a coaching staff does, that he's doing anything that the Patriots aren't doing or that the Dolphins aren't doing for the Patriots.
The similarities
you are totally being disrespectful to all the time that the coaches and scouts put in. It's almost laughable.
I didn't know he was going to go on quite a rant.
Well,
but
it's like utterly disrespectful to everyone who's ever worked on a coaching staff in the National Football
League.
He also
thinks that Mike is doing something different than what he's actually doing. Mike charts every player's participation, and he'll say maybe what formations they were in. He does not do down and distance work. He does not do what they ran in past work. He does not do results work. He simply says Randy Moss was on the field for 59 out of 59 offensive snaps.
He does.
And he occasionally will say 54 of those were in three wide receiver sets. He will not say 54% of those were on first down. He never once. So stop shaking your head that he does. Don't shake your head at me.
He does.
Shake your head at me. He doesn't.
He says, you know.
He says the percentage of participation
player. And on downs, too,
but
sometimes.
Fred, the coaches do it to the field, to the boundary, in the slot, in motion, everything.
Andy's right.
You are so embarrassingly naive right now in what you think the coaches
you're
do and don't do.
You're being completely disrespectful to the coaching staff.
I thought you respected the profession of
Josh
coaching
McDaniels.
Clearly
got,
you don't.
Josh McDaniels got his start here, doing that, at such a higher level than what you're explaining right now. It's very disrespectful. And now I understand why. The long and the short of it was he's trying to work in a shot at Josh McDaniels.
Probably.
And anybody else who has been here. Now I figured it all out.
Oh my God! I you know the,
what Mike does
the name
is very
Josh
valuable.
McDaniels had was not even on my mind.
No, what Mike does is very valuable
because you couldn't remember his name. You were like that damn Denver coach, the one who used to be here.
I think what Mike does is very valuable for us because it's an easy. You know, right. Mike does the work for us. I mean, it's easy for us to say, oh yeah, you know, AD hasn't been playing. We knew we all watched the games. We knew that AD wasn't playing. We all saw him going off the field on third downs all year long. Well, Mike has it broken down. You can see exactly how many snaps he's played.
Right.
You know, Mike figures it out, you know, to the minutia. So it is a valuable service for the media. It's not a valuable service for the football team. It's not.
Along those lines, the new Boston Globe writer, Albert Breer.
Yes.
Has either already unveiled or will soon be unveiling, and I'll give you a sneak peek, his own power rankings.
Oh, boy.
Using a statistical formula that he was taught by a major college head coach. The program came up with this formula using at least a couple decades of data to kind of figure out who was good and why and how you could.
Right.
And the Patriots will be unveiled this week as the number two team in the National Football League, trailing the New Orleans Saints.
And is he going to reveal what this formula is?
I don't know. That's why I'm not saying it.
I thought you said he did.
I don't know, so I'm not saying it. He revealed it to me.
Oh, I thought you said he
I don't want to.
He's not going to reveal where he got the formula, but I thought he was going to reveal the formula.
I think he's going to be. I don't know. I don't think so. So I don't want to.
Now, all right, so without revealing it, does it make sense to you?
Yeah, sure. As much as any of those formulas do. And,
yeah, I would agree with.
And so, I'm going to give. I just almost said it. The place where it was developed enough credit that they really. You know, their Richard Miller or their Ernie Adams went over enough data and said, you know what, it's more often than not, this works.
Yeah.
I think
power rankings are, to me, they're eyeball tests.
Right, but he wanted to do something different other than just his own eyeball test.
Yeah.
And I said to him, he's going to be popular because everybody has the Patriots 5 right now.
Right.
Saints, Colts 1-2 in some order. He found a formula that puts the Patriots at 2. It's going to be a very popular power ranking.
Right, okay. Well, I'll be
apparently in Dallas, it didn't go over so well because when Dallas was good, they'd be in hot stretches.
Right.
He'd have them like seven spots lower than anyone else.
In 2007, he said he had. You know, they were very good that year for most of the season. They finished 13-3, but they only had the one loss to us for a lot of that year. Then they killed Green Bay in that big Thursday night NFL Network game that caused the big controversy. And after that game, I think they were 12-1. I think you're right. And then he had Dallas, by this formula, was seventh right. in his power rankings. They were killing him in Dallas because at the time he was working for the Dallas Morning News.
I just like it because it's different. It's yeah. something else to talk about, think about.
I love power rankings, like, and I hate power rankings at the same time. Yeah. I think it's great
they
to have
nothing.
Them, but they mean nothing.
Right.
Well, exactly. all of it means nothing. Yeah. Bill's right. Who wins, who loses, what you do on Sunday, and what you do every Sunday.
But I do like them, and I like talking about them. I like debating them. It's unlike college football where they actually mean something, which is just laughable, that they actually decide important things by that.
Now, Breer, like you said, is now with the Globe, came over from Sporting News.
Blogging quite a bit.
Is he going to be doing grades after the game? Is he going to grade out?
I don't know.
No?
I don't know.
Because that seems to be very popular.
I love report cards.
You like report cards?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't necessarily want to do one.
You really do have to watch the game a couple times afterwards in order to do a valid.
Do it well, yes.
Yeah, to do it, you know.
Yeah, because if you just go and if you're going to go to each individual position the way they do them, you have to. You can't just say, "Well, they averaged 4.5 yards a carry. The offensive line must have done well." You can't do that.
Right.
But keep an eye out for that on the Boston Globe blog, the Burt Breer Power Rankings.
So the Patriots will be number three.
Two.
Who's number one?
Saints. He asks me questions I've already answered.
Yeah, he just doesn't like to listen to us.
That's good.
Only when he's trying to set us up into baiting us into an argument.
Right. Chad Johnson, apparently the they have a bye week. Chad Ochocinco. Because he's on nonstop on NFL. I mean, ESPN
85
First
Live,
Take,
I
whatever.
Think this was called.
But it's been on the whole time we've been on. We're going on like 40 minutes of Chad Johnson here.
All right. Good.
Yes, they do have a bye.
Is he pumping his book?
Steven's writing in, and he says, great job, listen to the show every day. Here's the question. Is it me, or do any of you guys suspect Tony Sparano has something up his sleeve for the Patriots? I'm thinking showing the run and attacking by air using Pat White. I suspect he's been keeping him on the shelf for something we haven't seen, something special he's been cooking up just for Bill and the gang. You got to figure that he knows the Patriots will take away whatever you are good at, such as the run. So while they focus on that, which is tough enough to prepare for, why not add the wrinkle of a running quarterback who can actually throw and hit our safeties deep while everyone buckles in to stop the run? I hope Bill has a wrinkle for the Dolphins, like striking first and long drives that eat up the clock. Love to hear your thoughts.
Well, as Bill will say, the plan is to always score first and play from ahead.
Well, that's
true.
What
do you think about Pat White, the use of Pat White? I haven't used him too much so far.
He hasn't thrown the ball very much, if at all.
I think he has a little bit.
But I will say that I don't think that they were keeping something under wraps for the Patriots. That doesn't make any sense. Last year, they were 0-2, and they were in kind of dire straits, and they figured out something new. I don't think that had anything to do with because it was the Patriots. They had to do something different. They played two games and scored no points, and they were 0-2, and their season was slipping down the drain. They need to win games. They can't afford to keep something under wraps this week. They have to beat the Jets. They have to find a way to go to the Meadowlands and get a win, and then come here. Now, all that said, if Pat White comes out and throws the ball a little bit more against the Patriots, then I'm not going to be stunned. But they need to find a way to get some W's, and I'm not sure that those kind of wrinkles are going to do it.
Okay.
What about the opposite? Any chance Bill Belichick tries to stick it to him and run his own Wildcat? You want to run the Wildcat all the time, Paul, so.
Only if something happens to Brady.
Well,
Edelman's
a Wildcat guy, and he's not going to be around.
Well, Falk could be.
Yeah, you could have.
He ran it last year.
Yeah. Pat White is 0-for-1 passing. So. Ronnie Brown is 1-for-3. So they haven't thrown the ball very often out of the Wildcat.
They've run it well, though, out of the Wildcat.
They've run it probably better than they did last year. I think they've been more consistent with it than they were last year.
If you took out our game last year, it wasn't as good.
That's the same kind of an example, in terms of like that Tennessee game that we talked about.
Right.
The success that the Dolphins had against us really threw off those stats.
Right.
Because they didn't do that against everybody else.
Ronnie Brown had, he had 357 total, and a good chunk of it came out of the Patriots game, out of the Wildcat.
Yeah. So, certainly the second time we played them, they didn't have anywhere near that success. They had like 20 yards, right?
Right.
Yeah, something like that.
Paul, will you be going to the Revs game Sunday? Big playoff game.
I shan't be going to the Revs game.
One of the best rivalries in MLS,
What's that?
Patriots Fire.
That's a rivalry game?
Revs Fire.
Right.
That's a rivalry game?
I think I read that somewhere. I generally read the first line of every press release we get emailed to us, and I think that was in one of them.
Yep. They've played the Fire in the playoffs for the past four seasons.
And what's the success rate for the Revs?
3-1
We must be pretty good because we always go to the MLS Cup, right?
3-1 Last year was the first time they beat us.
So this is an aggregate goal tournament.
Now there's
in?
A game here and then a game there?
Right.
When's the game there?
I don't know.
The first game
probably
Sunday,
sometime in December.
There's a week between games. How long does these playoffs go for?
Middle of November would be MLS Cup.
Where's the MLS Cup?
Seattle, Quest Field.
Well, good call there. They'll get like 50,000 people based on the way regular season
is. It'll be about 12 degrees.
They
good
certainly
day.
Earned it. All right, so tickets, are tickets available still?
Yes.
Yes.
Don't ask Jason, I'll say yes.
Okay, so...
no, they've sold out.
Call 1-877-GET-REVS.
You know, the Patriots aren't playing this weekend, so might as well come down to Gillette, take in the Revs, 1-877-GET-REVS, pick up your tickets for the playoff game.
They're the opposite of the Keith Jackson's
thing. The Revs are playing, so go out and rake leaves.
I know, if you go to revolutionsoccer.net, you can buy a four-pack. And that includes a T-shirt with your order, right? Is it four T-shirts?
Four T-shirts, yes.
Four T-shirts.
Long-sleeve
T-shirts.
Oh, I like long-sleeve
You buy four tickets off of revolutionsoccer.net.
Packages start at $72.
Is that per ticket?
For the four.
For four tickets.
Four tickets and four T-shirts.
That's a great deal. That's
a good
great
take.
Deal.
Good yeah. take.
That's awesome.
Weather going to be good for the match?
Fred has developed into one of the best comedians ever.
All right, Connor from Dublin writes, and glad to hear you enjoyed your trip over to London. I can only hope that the NFL brings a game to Ireland so you can enjoy potatoes and our Gaelic sports.
Gaelic.
I think you would love Gaelic football and hurling. It's like field hockey. Both sports are derivatives of ancient Gaelic
games.
He does
a lot of hurling every
trip. In which one town would play
against another
town.
If I ever had to do a Gaelic, I'd hurl.
And the game would be won by a single score in the opposition's goal 3 miles from your own.
That imagine. Hurling sport is, that's the one with the field hockey stick, but you play up in the air, right?
I don't know.
It's like a baseball, like. You're playing defense, me, you're running at me. I just throw the ball up and swing as hard as I can and hit it and then try to hit it through the. It's a cool sport. Late night ESPN.
A lot of guys getting hit in the head.
Oh, yeah.
Is that kind of like team handball? You see it on TV every once in a while. Great sport.
Camel wrestling is the all time best. They twist the necks together and then they try to have them pull each other apart. It's like a big tug of war between camels.
Oh, God.
That's great. History lesson over. I just voted for the 2010 Pro Bowl.
Who'd you go with?
Brady, Welker, Moss, Mayo, Guyton, Wilfork, Merriweather, and McGowan got my vote. What's stopping all these guys from getting to Miami in backup roles? Is the Pro Bowl ballot fair?
Yeah, it's fair. I like it.
Only one-third is the fans.
And all the fans are doing the same thing. So it equals each other up.
But you're allowed to vote as many times as you want.
Right.
They say, come back and vote to make sure that your guy gets in.
Now, does it have one of those, like, type the letters that are in this box so you can't set up automated?
Nope.
So why don't you have somebody set up an automated one?
Well, I think people do.
Why don't you?
And that's why I don't think the fan vote means anything, to be honest with you. I think it's all coaches and players. Ferreira sucks, Merry Christmas.
Well, that's two-thirds of it is the coaches and players.
So. But, I mean, why would they allow people, and like you said, there's no verification that it's a human. I'm sure people are setting up bots for their people. You know, why, you know.
Set one up. Get Brandon McGowan in.
So. also, the Pats should get some rugby coaches in for two reasons. One, the tackling, as you guys said yesterday. Two, if hypothetically the Pats are down by a TD in a game and it comes down to the lateral play, then the game essentially turns into rugby. True. These coaches could organize that mayhem and maybe make all the difference in the play. It's better to start the trend than become its first victim. The Wildcat shows this. And P.S., in defense of NFL players tackling opposed to rugby players, it's harder to tackle with the linebacker pads and helmets on. I've played both sports in college. Also, what you're trying to tackle is a lot faster and more elusive in the NFL. I'm sure you'll get emails back about this, but rugby is a gentleman's game played by vicious thugs who fail at soccer from an early age and who eye gouge and stamp whenever possible. Did you see any fights in the games you watched in London? The lack of professionalism in rugby is laughable.
No, but I did see some of the stomping on guys and some of that stuff. That's a gentleman's game?
Well, you know, I think at one time it was a gentleman's game, and I think he's saying that they turned it into a bunch of thugs. You know, it's interesting. I have this belief.
They were all gentleman game at one time,
you know,
weren't
they? I have this belief that, you know, growing up in America, in the fall, if you can play football, you play football. You know, when you get to be a high school age, you know, obviously hockey and basketball are pretty equal. I mean, if you grew up playing hockey, you play hockey. And then in the spring, it used to be if you could play baseball, you played baseball. But now I think lacrosse is starting to grow.
I agree.
But getting back to the fall, in this country, if you can play football, you play football. And then if you can't, you play soccer.
I agree.
In Ireland, it'd be interesting to see, like, you know, I would imagine there it's the same thing growing up. If you can play soccer, you play soccer. And if you can't play soccer, do you play rugby? I don't know.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah. But the rugby guys are different. I mean, there are some pretty big guys there. I can't see them playing soccer.
But they can't. That's why they can't. Part of the reason is
I see
big,
what you're saying, right.
They're automatically washed out.
Can't is not necessarily don't have the ability. It's for whatever reason. They're not quick and agile enough.
They're
too big.
To that
right,
game.
Right.
You know, might be part of the, you know, and some of them just may not have been that
right.
that good, and they got big, you know, to play rugby.
Yeah.
Got big.
You know,
in
some people.
In quotation marks.
You know, some people, you know, they learn power at the major league level.
Right. Right. So that's my belief.
But I agree with you on the lacrosse thing. I think baseball is getting a little bit of a challenge at the high school
yeah.
kind of level from.
Well, a lot of.
Because I think some of the football players like to play lacrosse.
Right. There's hitting and running and, you know.
I'm a guy who always looked forward to baseball and then like a month into it said, this is boring as all hell. Can we get back to football?
Yeah.
Like, and I definitely would have considered lacrosse had they had it when I was there.
Oh, yeah.
Jim Brown started as a lacrosse player and then transitioned into football.
He sure did. Yeah, he's one of Syracuse's best
yes,
ever.
Mr. Syracuse. We all know the story. Go back to sleep. Go
they
play
actually
solitaire.
Had to change some of the lacrosse rules because of Jim Brown. He was so good. Let's see. Dan.
What a great story.
I like stories.
Dan Heffron writes in.
Hey, Dan.
A friend of mine asked if her three-year-old should go to trick-or-treating as Tom Brady or Teddy Bruschi. My
Tom
first
Brady.
Thought was he should go as Troy Brown, but then I started thinking. If he went as Lawrence Maroney, he could dance before he rings the doorbell each time. If he went as Ellis Hobbs, he could try to stand 5 feet away from the door. If he went as Sammy Morris, about every four houses, he could fall down in the walkway and get hurt. If he went as Junior Seau, he could wait for some other kid to ring the doorbell, then come running in and grab the candy. Then I started thinking, what if he went as a PFW writer?
Uh-oh, it's going to take an ugly turn.
If he went as Fred, he would turn down candy from anyone who wasn't a Pats fan, then TP their house. That's true. If he went as Paul, he could tell people giving out candy that he has to leave for a better neighborhood in half an hour. If he went as Eric, when the people ask him who he is, he could tell some questionable statements about himself, be very evasive when questioned on it, and finally say, can we just move on with the candy already? And of course, if he went as Andy, he would make double entendres about candy apples the moms gave him. That's Dan in Fairfax.
That is a great email.
Good idea. You know,
I really like the Patriots with Sammy Morris.
Every four houses he could fall down.
Ellis Hobbs standing away from the doorway.
Good stuff. That's Ben good. Watson, he'd drop all his candy.
Your kids going out for
going?
Are you going? Is tonight the night for trick-or-treating?
No, Halloween.
Halloween is
it's Saturday.
No, oh, it is Saturday. So, something I heard on TV that people were going out tonight for something.
Well, it starts. It's Thursday night, so there's probably parties like to start the weekend.
Your kids going out? You taking your kids out?
Yeah, limited. Yeah. I mean, they're still little.
How about your kids, Paul?
Yeah, I'll be out.
You got a good neighbor. You got a lot of houses.
Do.
Yeah.
You gonna egg that woman down the street?
No, but we won't
we're
be going to
go
that house.
Yeah.
Let me talk to Will.
We won't be going to that house.
What are your kids dressed as, Paul?
It's a good question. I think TJ is a fireman. But I'm not sure what Will is.
Okay.
Hey, you want to see my hose?
Mayo. For God's sakes. Do you have to do it even to my kids?
Mayo.
Your kids are cooler than you.
They're a lot cooler than me.
Now, down the road from me, it's a couple miles away, Zolak lives. And I guess
Zolak?
And I guess every year he would dress up the house.
But you're not rich. You just live with former NFL quarterbacks. You're not rich.
I said 2 miles away.
Zolak?
And it's a good neighborhood to, like, import your kids into and just drop them off and have them because
they probably
of,
give out like just whole bags
right,
of candy or something.
But I don't know if they're going to do it this year. But you know, in the past, they've really gone out and dressed up in the house. And
now, does Connor stay out of trouble on Halloween? Or
he has so far, yeah,
because he's certainly in that age span where,
yeah, I don't know what
it's not all about
do.
Candy anymore, it's about other things,
more of the treat,
yeah.
My favorite was him mixing a salad.
When I blew my knee out in high school, my senior year. Yeah. I made the mistake of allowing my friends to borrow my car on Halloween night.
Ooh.
It came back smelling of eggs for like a month and a half. There were eggshells under the seats, in the air vents.
Idiot.
They got into like an egging war in some neighborhood, oh, and man. My car was the vehicle that got... I was so mad.
When I was a kid...
Yeah, see, that's what happens when you grow up in the rural areas. You need a car to go out egging, you know? I mean, we didn't need cars.
Right.
You threw eggs at cars.
Right.
We used lacrosse sticks to hurl eggs.
Wow. When I was a kid,
that's what they do in the preppy,
living in New
the
Jersey,
preppy towns, evidently.
There was a big political race, you know, and I was like maybe in fifth grade. My mother actually gave us eggs and whipped cream and told us to hit all the political signs in the neighborhood. So that was great. That was like doing it sanctioned mischief.
Yeah, I'm guessing she would have cut ties with you if a cop brought you home.
Well, I remember
because I would have as the parent.
Being like 13 or 14, and I went to the supermarket to get eggs. But I had to get milk and a couple other things for my mother anyway, so I figured...
Bisquick, make it look like it was...
Well, I had to get... You know, I remember having to get the other thing, and I remember going up. There was two dozen... This is on Halloween. It's during the day. And I get two dozen eggs, and they're ringing it up, and the guy looks at the cashier and says, what are you doing? You're letting him buy eggs? He goes, well, he has the milk and everything with it. And I'm like, it actually worked!
Yeah,
that's exactly what I was thinking, and I got away with it.
Great.
Well, sort of. Some people
they let me buy it.
No, I know, but the guy knew exactly what you were doing.
I don't care if they knew. They let me buy it.
Well, I would let you buy it anyway. Found the store. What do I care? I make my money.
Paul looked like he was 40 anyway. So I get an Eric look from Paul.
Those are the sweaters I wear. You unbutton it, your head fits through fine.
Yeah. This sweater's older than
you. We don't make him out of Paul when he wears sweaters.
That's a fisherman's sweater, right?
Is that what that's called?
Is that what that is?
I don't know.
No.
And you don't either, because you don't know the difference between crew neck and V-neck.
I don't know what
you know what Andy and I call it? It's one of those structure sweaters. Right. They don't make them anymore.
They don't make them anymore. Company went out of business 20 years ago.
Dana in Brighton says, regardless of how good he's been this year, Ben Watson is not in the Pro Bowl balloting, and Chris Baker is. Why a wise one?
Well, you can only have one, right?
Yeah, Baker was
considered
the starting
starter
when the season started, I guess.
So, you can probably write him.
Benjamin Watson does not even belong in a sentence that says Pro Bowl, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, for the cornerback, it's Lee Bodden and Wilhite.
Jonathan Wilhite, it should be.
Those
are the guys that started opening day.
That's correct.
I didn't mean to make you lose your lunch over that. It wasn't that important.
You okay?
TG, we already wrote red one for him. Let's see. Strippers.
Hey.
Do you guys agree? Former college football coach Pat Jones, who does sports radio in Oklahoma, thinks Sam Bradford reminds him of a young Tom Brady. Does anyone at PFW see that, too? Good size, pretty strong arm, very smart.
Andy does.
Strippers,
yeah.
Any of that? I mean,
he's an
I don't know about the exact comparison. I think he has all the tools to be a Tom Brady-like quarterback at the NFL level before he became damaged goods. Now I'm concerned about his future.
How tall is he?
Tall.
Is he?
Yeah.
Not that tall.
He's NFL tall. I don't know. Sometimes they're NFL tall until they get to the combine.
Look that up. Sam Bradford, Oklahoma.
It doesn't matter. Subtract 2 inches from whatever it is. That's the NFL combine rule.
Yeah, but whatever he goes by, he goes
by. I bet he's 6'5 there, and he's 6'3 in
rebound. See, I would be surprised if he's listed as 6'5.
Me too.
He was going to be a stud. They ruined him.
Aveyard from Long Meadow. I find it curious that as far as the national media goes, the Patriots are flying under the radar. In years past, if a Pats team had rung up 94 points while allowing only 7 in back-to-back games, they'd be considered the team to beat, no matter who the opponents were. After all, the defending champ Steelers barely beat the Titans, and the Bucs had at least played hard and kept it close in a couple games, losing one game by 7 and another by 3. In this regard, it feels like the early 2000s again, when the Patriots seemed to have as many doubters as believers. Bradford's listed as 6'4",
223. So he's 6'3". Maybe 6'2" and change.
Yeah, what happened in the 2-inch rule?
Well, it's usually...
I'm surprised
like,
that he's 6'4".
It's usually
he
like
look
an inch
that
and a quarter, an inch and 7/10, something ridiculous.
My understanding
he doesn't look that
no
big
math.
To me watching him on the field. But
well, he's got to fill out. He needs to bulk. He needs like 15, 20 pounds of muscle.
What's this email? It feels
right, so
like the early 2000s.
It sounds like the Patriots are flying under the radar. They're not getting respect, even though they beat two bad opponents. If they had done that in the past, people would give them more, you know.
But they're fifth in the power rankings pretty much unanimously.
And
there's
have,
two teams in the Colts and the Saints that have kind
lost.
Of separated themselves from the conversation. So there's only a couple spots there the Patriots could move up with any argument at all. I think they're moving up. People are moving them up because they're beating bad teams like they should.
I mean, there are three teams that haven't lost.
And they lost
to
one of them.
So that's three teams that are two games ahead of them. And they're... So the highest they could possibly be is fourth.
Right.
And they're fifth.
Look,
not flying under the radar.
You know me,
the most doubted team that's undefeated is the Broncos, and they beat you. So you can't say we should be ahead of them.
You know me. I'm always willing to give the Patriots the benefit of the doubt. But even I have to say that there are other teams, I think, that are
who is ranked
playing
fourth?
Better than them right now.
Who is ranked fourth?
I don't know.
In the power rankings? Do you know?
You know.
I don't have any idea.
You know, when everyone cites, you know, the Titans playing Pittsburgh tough and going to overtime in week
that
one.
That was opening night.
And it's a different team now.
It was a month and
a half
ago.
An absolutely different team. That's not the same
team
that showed up here.
They didn't play that team.
Right.
They didn't play those people.
That's right.
A lot of them weren't even on the field.
That's right. The whole defensive backfield's gone. You know,
And if, you know, I got to think if the Steelers hosted the Titans tomorrow, they'd beat them about 42-3.
Right, right. So yeah,
and the Steelers haven't been overly impressive this year.
You have to look at things in context. You can't, you know, you can't look at it that way just because they gave the Steelers a hard time in week one.
You know, I listened to Chris Collinsworth this morning on EEI, really talking up the Patriots. Thinks, you know, when he talked about how when Bill's getting in this kind of mode where he's a little persnickety, you know, and he's cutting guys and. You know, he's got that edge. That's when you really – he said, that's when I really love the Patriots. That's when I really start to think that, you know, this could be something going on here. And I don't think they're flying under the radar at all. I think most people look at this team as long as Tom Brady – coming into the year, as long as Tom Brady was healthy, the Patriots would be a Super Bowl contender. I mean, they were everybody's choice for the Super Bowl, if you recall.
Right. I think right now – I think what's holding back people from unbridled, they're going to win it, no doubt, is – the same thing we've been talking about, depth at wide receiver. You know, eventually Pittsburgh's going to come along, whether it's the playoffs or, you know, sooner with the Jets or whatever during the season. And they're going to figure out a way to shut down both Moss and Welker. And then we'll see what happens then. You know, eventually this defense is going to get tested against a team with a balanced offense like, you know, the Saints
or Indy or someone else.
And then we'll
know.
See what happens. I think you get past this next stretch of five games, and if the Patriots end up 4-1 after that, then you're going to see that's it. They're going to win it. But I don't think they deserve that yet.
But
except from me.
I think they already I think they already have that. I don't think there's anybody who doesn't believe the Patriots are one of the five best teams in football.
No, but I think at the beginning of the year it was a little bit more enthusiastic than it is now. I think
they were the favorites to win the Super Bowl.
But not anymore.
I think you probably couldn't have found anybody that didn't think they were one of the two or three best teams in football before the year started.
Not anymore, though.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they did lose 2 out of 7 games.
And that's what I'm saying.
You know, but I mean,
things have
happened.
Making
it sound like it's unfair.
Yeah, it's not unfair. I think it's pretty fair. You know, and that's me saying that. So then you know it has to be.
But it's been said.
That's right. Joel in Merrimack says, "Hey guys, hi Eric. I was listening to Zolak and Tangway the other day. Yes, Zolak. I actually had nothing better to do. And Zolak said that Adalis Thomas played something like 17 snaps and that he only played on first downs and not in any of the sub packages. He is convinced that the reason for this is because Belichick is saying that it is what it is. Adalis Thomas is not the impact player we expected and that Adalis' participation will be situational for the rest of the season based on Belichick's game plan and not the every-down player we expected him to be. What do you guys think?"
I agree. I said to you, Paul, he's now a rarity I've never seen before. He's a run-stuffing outside linebacker. He's on 3-4, first down. He's on the field. Then every sub-package, he jogs off. And
is that it, or does he have a chance to get back to every down?
I think if he shows that he deserves it, Bill's not a stubborn.
Well, how do you show that if you're only on a first down?
You'll have chances. There's going to be first down pass plays.
Guy will get nicked up. He'll have
whatever.
To come out.
Yep. Bill's not going to spite himself and say, no, I decided he was a run stuffer and that's it. If he shows that he's versatile and should be on the field every play, he'll be on the field every play.
Since week two, Adalis Thomas has not been a three down linebacker. And week two started something that has really kind of grown. And Andy made a point yesterday about this that I thought was really good.
I agree.
Brandon McGowan, that was the day, the Jets game, that he sort of stepped into the defense. They played three safeties that day for the first time. You know who Brandon McGowan is, Fred?
Your favorite player of all time.
He's Tank Williams.
Yeah.
Clearly Bill has wanted
and
to
Andy
use this role for
years. And Andy brought that up
yesterday,
and this is what he was looking to do, and I think he found out, I can use this guy as an extra safety. I can drop him down in the box as a linebacker. I can have him play in pass coverage. I can get him around the line of scrimmage. He can be a run support guy. He's physical. He's fast. He gets to the ball. Unfortunately, the byproduct of that was it took away, I think, a role for Dalis Thomas because he hasn't played well enough in a role. I'm not saying that that's, you know, it's unfortunate for Thomas. He hasn't deserved to play, and McGowan has. McGowan has made the impact plays that we thought Dalis Thomas would make.
Speaking of power rankings, both CBS and ESPN, their top five is identical, and it's both of them have the Patriots at number five.
Everybody
has
Patriots.
That's what Andy
five.
Said.
Yeah. It's pretty much unanimous around the world.
Who's four?
Vikings.
Four of the Vikings.
Okay, so the highest team with two losses is the Patriots.
True. They're higher than the Bengals, Pittsburgh. The Eagles have more than... Was it the Eagles at eight? See, I disagree with that. Anyway.
He's getting into a fight with a piece of paper.
Okay, so that's good.
And right now, would you pick... Well, I'm not going to ask you, Fred. The Vikings, I would say, I think the Patriots probably will end up a better football team than the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, I do, too. I think they're probably going to end up
I'm
a better
not
team
so
than
sure.
Denver Broncos, too. But you know what?
That
they
one
played,
I can't argue right
played
now.
They played Denver, and Denver beat them.
They've played 7 weeks. You're two games behind them, and you lost right. to them head-to-head. It's hard to make that declaration right now. I think
it's not hard. It's impossible.
Yeah,
you can't
I think
do it.
The Patriots are better than Denver. Your test, Freddie.
Right.
The eyeball test. Right. I think the Patriots are better. But they've played 7 games. They haven't lost. We've lost twice,
right.
and they beat us.
Right.
I can't rank us ahead of them.
And the way Baltimore's playing this week, they might win again. You know,
Baltimore's lost 3 in a row.
That's right.
Eyeball test. Baltimore's a very good team, but they're 3-3.
Something I wanted to. I just remembered. You were talking about Brandon McGowan in the Jets game. Would you say that Jets game was sort of like a game where Belichick formed an opinion of a lot of guys on this team and made a lot of the personnel decisions that we're seeing now may have stemmed from some of what people did in that game? Like Joey Galloway, maybe he just said, you know what, this guy can't do it. You know, decisions were made in that game.
Hey, maybe. I mean.
Not necessarily.
I think it may have been for Galloway the next game when he really was bad.
Yeah.
I mean, at least against the Jets, he caught 5 passes.
Yeah.
You know, they may have thrown 12 to him. He only
right.
caught 5, but against Atlanta, he ran out of the back of the end zone. He dropped an easy slant that would have been a touchdown. He was not where he was supposed to be on another play that Brady overthrew him.
But that's just one. I mean, who are you talking about? Dalis Thomas?
I'm thinking him. Yeah. I'm thinking a bunch of guys, you know, they're.
Talking about James Sanders?
Maybe. Yeah.
Was that his really bad game? No. James Sanders' bad game was here.
James Sanders didn't start in that game. Remember, I was like, where's Sanders? That was the game I was sitting way away from you guys.
James Sanders' bad game was here. Was it Baltimore or Atlanta?
I don't know.
When he had the really, even I admitted he had a terrible. No, I don't think that was, I mean, if anything, it felt a little bit more like the Denver loss. They reacted a week later
okay.
with Bodden and Thomas.
You know
out.
What? That makes sense,
and
too.
And Bodden
that makes
clearly
sense.
Had
yeah.
issues with, you know, on that touchdown, the tackling. Maybe Bill thought yep. that was an effort play. Who knows?
That makes sense, too.
I don't see that Jets game as much.
Yeah. I think you might be right, Andy. I think the Denver game, maybe even more than the Jets game, was a game where...
And it might have hurt, too.
Yeah.
As much as he respects Josh,
right. oh,
maybe
that
he
hurt.
Didn't. Maybe he felt a little bit like you about him jumping
you
around.
You let me down.
Hugging people.
You let me down.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. Adrian in Cleveland says, now that you're ready to talk football, do you have some thoughts on how the Patriots rookie class is faring compared to other teams? Who is the most likely rookie of the year for now? And then, let me ask the question again. How would you rank the Patriots rookies at this point based on their performance so far? Mike Reese has his own ranking on this week's mailbag, so feel free to discuss and compare with what he has.
I can't compare classes. I'm not qualified.
Haven't
Percy
seen...
Harvin has been an impact rookie
yeah.
for the Vikings. For
I haven't
team
seen
that's...
enough of the other rookies. I think the Patriots are getting great, and Andy just wrote a story about it, the last issue or one of the last couple issues. I think they've gotten a lot of contributions.
Their best
out of
class in a while.
Very deep. Very deep class.
Now
it
he wants
like,
to rank
like.
Them.
It's which, early. Much yeah. like we can't write them off right. after 1 year. We can't just say, oh, yeah, they're going to have eight right. guys that are going to contribute
we don't
after
know.
1 year. We don't know.
We don't know what McKenzie will do. We don't know what Tate will do. You know,
right, and you also don't know what
you don't
next
know.
Year's class will do.
This might
right.
be as good as all these guys are, too. And then 3 years from now, you're
right.
like, wow, I really thought Edelman was going to be this great player, but he's kind of the same guy that he was 2 years ago.
But you're not even really comparing him to himself. It's comparing him to the next three draft classes because now they're in their roles because they're the new flavor. They're the best they have. But next year's fourth-round pick might be better.
Right.
Or McKenzie might be better. Or, You know, maybe Gary Guyton doesn't play as much when they say McKenzie's better.
Right? I unfortunately don't see enough of every other team to rank all the draft classes. I mean, what I saw of Knowshon Moreno in Denver, I was very impressed with.
You know, the kid from UConn, the running back.
Donald Brown. That's another good one, yeah.
All right, let's take a quick break. Remember, today's Thursday, so we're going to have to go around the NFL in about 15 minutes.
Tuesday through Thursday, have lunch with the writers of Patriots Football Weekly on PFW in Progress.
I always say it this way, and honest to God, this is what you guys are. You are the View of football. It's just four guys having lunch.
PFW in Progress, Tuesday through Thursday from noon to 2 on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
Just found out American Airlines flies to more than 250 cities in 40 countries. That's a lot of flying. So basically, that's 250 different things that I can put on my out-of-office auto reply. Why, I could say, island hopping in Hawaii, returning Friday. This is going to be fun. Better yet, swimming with whale sharks in Cancun back on... Wait, that sounds dangerous. Oh, I know. How about samba dancing in Rio back on Monday? Wish you were here. Well, not really. But with flights to over 250 cities in 40 countries, it's easy to get wherever I want to go on American. Even if it just happens to be sales meeting in Des Moines back tomorrow.
What will you put on your out-of-office reply? 250 cities, 40 countries, unlimited possibilities. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Man, it's football season. I mean, usually the house is decked out by now. You know, the football lamps and the big wall posters.
Dude, it is decked out. But this year, I'm working on a higher level.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
Well, you're just not on that level. I've got Razor Sharp Fios TV from Verizon, so I don't just watch the game, I feel like I'm in it. The whole place has ultra-quick Fios internet, so my computer becomes my own personal press box.
Right, so, no little football helmet soaps in the bathroom this year?
Sadly, no. But with ESPN MVP, I get stats, scores, and highlights sent straight to my wireless phone.
With Verizon's Fios TV and internet, plus wireless apps like ESPN MVP, you have everything you need to take your football experience to the next level. Verizon, official telecommunications provider of the New England Patriots. Select VCast phone and VPAC subscription required. Fios available in select areas.
You are so far beyond football-shaped serving trays.
The Patriots are celebrating their 50th anniversary, and you can too at the Patriots Pro Shop. The Patriots Pro Shop is the place to find all the official 50th season merchandise. Everything from the 1963 jerseys the players are wearing this season to polos, sweatshirts, and hats featuring the original Pat Patriot logo. The Patriots Pro Shop has the widest selection of Patriots merchandise, including many 50th season items that you won't find anywhere else. Located next to Gillette Stadium at Patriot Place, the Patriots Pro Shop is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sundays from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. or 24 hours a day at PatriotsProShop.com. And if you order from PatriotsProShop.com, we'll ship your order for just $5. You'll know it's authentic when you order from PatriotsProShop.com because your item is being shipped from Gillette Stadium. Celebrate 50 years of Patriots football at the Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
Patriots, PFW in progress.
PFW in progress on Patriots.com with Jake Steele, Portly Paul Perillo, Eric Scalavino, and Andy the Idiot Hart. Online and out of bounds at Patriots.com.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. It's Thursday, so we're going to be going around the NFL a little bit. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. On the phone right now is Jim from Texas. How y'all doing from Texas, Jim?
Hey, Fred, how you doing today? Great show. You're talking about egging people's houses, toilet paper, and all kinds of other stuff. And, you know, you even got football in here today. I'm very proud of you.
Good.
Outstanding work, as always.
Great.
I did catch your webcast on the website or whatever, you, Andy, and Paul. That was actually a really good show. I watched that this morning when I got up with my boy, took him to school.
Yeah, it's not good for community cable.
I mean, that was not bad at all. I mean, you know, you guys should actually think about doing that for a career. Oh, wait a minute. You already are. My bad. Okay, let me throw this one out to you, though, real quick. As far as, are they practicing the Pats this week in the stadium, or
today.
Are they truly off?
Today in the
no,
stadium.
They practiced today
then
and,
they're off.
And yesterday.
Then they're
Everybody
off Friday, Saturday.
Yeah, Eric. they'll be off probably from Friday through Monday.
Off. Okay, well, here's my one thought is as far as McGowan goes, I kind of agree with you, Paul. I think that he has, and, you know, I've noticed this since week one, he has made plays. He's created fumbles. He's made a few pass defenses. He's knocked people short on third and whatever, third and eight. He'll tackle a guy for a six-yard gain. He's made plays when called upon. Not bad for a guy who was a street free agent with a history of injuries and what have you. He's been a great pickup. And as far as the Dallas goes, I mean, this is his last year. The writing is all over the wall. If he's getting benched and he's signed up for all that money, I think Bill would cut him. But, you know, there's probably nobody. He doesn't help his team necessarily to cut him right now. But I think after a certain point this year, this is it for him, which is kind of too bad. I figured he'd be a great player in the scheme, but it just hasn't really happened. Your thoughts on that?
He was supposed to be the perfect Patriot. He hasn't been, and I agree with you. I think he's done in the offseason, the uncapped year. You eat the acceleration on the contract in an uncapped year and move on. It didn't work.
Well, here's my other thought as far as if you get rid of a Dallas, which we're all kind of in agreement on, it means you go back into the draft, and now all of a sudden you can have a very young back seven of your defense, whereas only just 2 years ago you were really old between linebacker and secondary. Now you could have one of the younger groups potentially in the league with Mayo being your elder statesman only as a third-year starter. And I think as far as playing the Dolphins go in a couple of weeks, my one fear with them, though, is they run the ball so much that they pound it at you a lot. If the Pats can get ahead on them by throwing the ball over the place and maybe get a two-score lead and try to, I guess, prevent them from getting in the Wildcat, because they ate out lunch in the Wildcat last year. I watched that game. That was, wow, I couldn't believe that game. So what do y'all think about our chances are in 2 weeks when we play them?
I like our chances. Well, don't you?
I do.
So why are you laughing?
Because I'm objective, and when I say it, it means something.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with Jim. I think that the Patriots will throw the ball and get a lead and sort of render that, the ball control that Miami's tried to use sort of irrelevant. I think, well, if you get a lead, you don't have to worry about time of possession and all that stuff.
Right.
Well, Fred, let me ask you this. You're the most unabashed, objective guy of this group, then I'll throw this out.
Right.
Brandon Tate, going forward right now, your thoughts, what's he going to do to help this team the rest of the year? Is he going to be the third receiver? Is he just going to be some guy?
I can't see him right away being a third receiver. I think he's going to have spot play. I think they'll work him in slowly. I think, you might see him get thrown to a couple times in the next game, and then they'll build on that. But, I see most of his contribution right now coming in maybe in the return game.
I agree, but he was behind the defense. He got behind the defense against Tampa.
He had a chance for a touchdown in that game. If that ball
Andy,
was...
one of the times that you were out feeding yourself, what's your name? Fred. Yeah. Fred and I were talking about Tate, and I think we both agreed that the fact that he got, not that he was a focal point of the offense, but the fact that he was out there as much as he was coming right off of PUP tells me that they have high hopes for him, number one. And number two, they feel like they don't really have many options to go to right now. With Edelman out, I still think that Sam Aiken caught one pass. I mean, it was a great play, don't get me wrong, but he caught one pass. And that's all, that's all they got out of him. I think they need to find out what they have in Tate. And I think that they're hopeful that he could be a third or fourth receiver, for the balance of the season.
And Bill praised him after the game.
Very much so. Bill did, Brady did, and Welker did, all three of them.
Yeah, so the problem with Tate is we never even got to see him in practice, like what his hands are like.
Right.
We don't even know how he is, catching a ball from Tom Brady and running routes against Brandon Merrick. We never got to see any of that.
True that.
And that's kind of why I was asking you earlier in the show, did anybody watch practice today? Because I was going to ask you directly.
We have Eric here now, speaking of catching balls.
And just so Jim, even when we get to go to practice during the season, we don't get to see that portion of it. They don't allow us to watch that. We watch the first 15 minutes. They're stretching. They do some positional drills.
Special teams.
Yeah, we don't get to
really
see.
Help you.
Yeah, we don't. It doesn't help us at all.
Okay. Well, and that's okay though. But Well, like I said, though, I mean, I saw him coming out like of college this year, and I was nervous as heck because he popped positive for a marijuana test, and he shredded his knee. And I was like Eric thought, like called a couple weeks ago. I didn't expect him or McKenzie, either one, to contribute anything this year. And the fact that they're getting anything out of him, I'm kind of like, yeah, if they get anything out of him, they got to find out whether this guy can play or not. But my hope is that he can. And if he can, well, let's look at it this way. You know, Welker, Moss, and anybody else is going to take a certain amount of heat away from him. He's going to be drawing the team's third at best defensive back on any given play, and probably a fourth given his status, I guess, in the league, because he just saw a third-round pick out of North Carolina State no one knows a lot about. So that was my only thoughts on that. As always, great show, guys, and you know, keep up the good work. I'll talk to you next week.
All right, Jim in Texas.
Thanks, Jim.
Hey, Eric's here. Eric just really came from practice.
Contrary, yeah, the thanks, Bill. I appreciate the vote of confidence there.
It was PFW that was reporting it.
Yes, well, I appreciate his vote of confidence and not yours. The one interesting note from practice today, Matthew Slater changed from a blue to a white jersey.
That was really interesting.
We were just talking about receiver depth.
Right.
Which makes sense because if you listen to Bill talk, I think one of the questions that Andy asked.
It was a good one.
He threw Slater in there in terms of.
Today?
No.
Okay.
Might have been the day you asked about a defensive player or, you know, possibly getting reps as a wideout. Or it might have just been a generic thing where you talked about the practice reps with all the receivers, and he threw Slater at the end of, you know how he always talks about everybody?
I believe it was
Slater.
Post-game. Yeah.
Slater, maybe that was it.
I believe it was post-game.
Yeah. What do you think about that?
Do you have
a lot of confidence in him catching passes?
No, I don't think he's really an option as a wide receiver.
No.
But it's interesting that they
yep.
I feel more confidence in Sam Aiken, let's put it that way.
But the funny thing
maybe
is,
maybe he was scouting and being Pierre Garcon. Oh, no, they're not playing them yet. Never mind.
Plus his name is Garcon.
What?
But what? Hasn't he been listed as a receiver all along?
He's been listed, but
I
he's
call
been
him today's
Waiter,
roster up way back.
Yeah.
DB. Matthew
right,
Slater.
That
when he wears
right,
the white that, jersey, they'll move him to DB.
They'll switch
right.
it now?
Yeah.
What else you got?
Again, yesterday there were 11 players who didn't practice.
Today?
13.
Ooh. Baker's dozen. Was Baker among them?
No, Baker was out. Oh. Baker was out there practicing. Notable names too. I mean, guys who you know weren't really injured, but they're just you know taking some time off.
Right.
Moss, Mayo, Springs. But then there are guys who are legitimately have been hurt. You know, the Edelmans, the
Warren.
Taylors, the Warrens.
More than
guys
one
like
of
that.
Them.
Those types of people.
Oh. Fred. I have an unconfirmed mole reporting to me that Ty Warren was seen on crutches.
Oh.
It's not good.
Unconfirmed.
Not good.
Unreliable, sort of.
Unreliable mole?
Kind of, but. Okay.
Unconfirmed, unreliable mole. That's right. The kind of stuff you get here at PFW. Yeah.
Actually, the mole told me, I saw a really big guy on crutches, and I go, Ty Warren?
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, go with that.
Brian from Santa Cruz says, hey, guys, in the sweater, otherwise known as Eric.
Actually,
it's pretty funny the way Fred paints a picture to make it seem like Eric is coming off the tennis courts every day after practice with a racket bag and sweater tied around his neck. Is it a V-neck cashmere? I wonder how long it'll take for Eric to realize that Fred isn't really complimenting his attire.
I realized that a long time ago.
I don't think it took Eric a long
Brian.
To figure that out.
Yeah.
It's crew today.
It's called playing along.
Right, right.
Which usually you don't do very well at all.
Yeah, but it's only a sweater.
A quick subscription question.
Not your,
if you get a regular
orientation.
If you get a regular subscription to the paper, can you still go online to check it out?
Yes.
Check it out.
Everybody always talks about not getting the paper on time, and I'm afraid I'll get the paper 2 weeks late every time as I'm out here in California. If I could just go online to read it, it would be more appealing than reading a two-week-old newsprint.
You can.
Really?
You can. That's why we did PFWOnline.com. Whether or not you get the paper or you're an international person, you have exclusive access to PFWOnline.com once you get your paper. You get your password and username, and you can go read the paper as soon as it's printed.
So call today, 1-800-494-PATS.
1-800-494-PATS. So
first 10 callers will get a handshake from Paul Perillo in whatever city you live in. If we have a game anywhere near
Certainly not going to get one from you. You'll be in the back corner of the VIP area.
Damn right.
Now he's admitting it finally after fighting it yesterday.
Right.
That's all it
right.
for practice? Nothing.
Full pads again.
A lot of media.
Sort of, because it's the last opportunity they're going to get until next what is it, next Tuesday, I guess, when they come back?
I think they'll all turn to Bill at the end of the day and say, see you.
See you next Tuesday.
Right, yeah. We'll see you.
Yeah. Now, did you update the practice players of the week?
The black shirts, yeah. There are four of them, and they're all practice squad players.
Tony Agnon
is one. Titus Adams. I'm not even going to bother correcting you. That's fine. Kyle Arrington and...
Kyle Arrington.
Ryan Wendell.
Ryan Wendell.
Wendy.
Good.
So that's it.
You sure that's all of them?
That's all.
No Stanbeck?
Nope. He's in a white jersey.
Really?
Correct.
Was he playing receiver or quarterback?
They weren't really doing those positional drills. They were all like, all the skill position guys were running through the bag drills and stuff. So, but they were in the stadium practicing for the second day in a row as well. Don't think we need to read anything into that, but that's just where they were.
Paul, no injuries at quarterback.
No injuries at quarterback.
Isaiah Stanbeck will be on the active roster at some point this season.
True.
I agree.
I'd say true as well. And he's been on the sideline for every game,
yes.
I think.
Yes. What's that third quarterback, Andy?
That's Andy?
What Bill said.
That's what he said. I don't remember him saying Andy, but...
Well, it was implied.
It was your question,
it was implied.
All right. Well, it's Thursday, and it's time to go around the NFL.
He wanted to take a break before we go around the
yeah.
NFL.
Can we take a break?
Because he told you to, and he's the producer.
Why would we want to do that?
Respect his authority.
We do it every week.
A very quick break, and we'll be right back.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2 on American Airlines Patriots.com. Radio.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. Says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited, but only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
All
All right. Back here at PFW Progress. It's Thursday. It's time to go around the NFL with our weekly picks. Before we do, Paul, why don't you let us know how we did last week?
Big week for everybody, Freddie.
Woo!
Eric and I went 10-3. You and Andy went 8-5. With the spread, I was 10-2-1.
Wow. Ooh. Cleaned up.
Eric was 9-3-1. Andy was 8-4-1. And Fred was 7-5-1.
Oh. Who was the push, do you know?
The Houston-San Francisco game. So we have the season standings.
Kenyon!
72-31. Eric is 71-32.
Ooh.
I'm 68-35. Fred is 65-38. With a spread.
Kenyon!
New Kenyon.
Oh.
With a spread.
Wow.
58-44-1 I am. 57-45-1.
As white and not skinny as can be.
Well, I'm sorry, but I confuse him with a Kenyon. Eric is 55-47-1. And Fred. 50-52-1.
Taking it on the chin.
Inching up to the 500.
I just want to get over 500.
Taking it up the rear. Yeah.
Well, on the,
well, the only thing the size of Kenyon on you, Andy, is your IQ.
Don't steal mine.
All right.
Whoa. Kenyons are stupid?
No, the size of
his. Care to elaborate?
The size of his IQ.
Would you like to move on?
The size of his IQ is about the size of a Kenyon, not a Kenyon's.
Oh, okay.
Well done, Eric.
You tend to,
Fred.
I know, but you tend to say things that are inappropriate and then spin them later. He just did that.
No,
he offended
about
an entire country of marathon runners.
That's the way it was.
It's just idiot Andy,
right,
not listening.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Paul, did
you hear the same thing?
Absolutely.
Thank you. Let's move on.
Swollen brain heart.
I think
what was that drink you had? Frozen brains or
cold brains?
Cold brains.
Yeah.
I think we lead off with the game of the day, Andy. Denver 6-0 Broncos at Baltimore.
The game of the day?
I think that's the game of the day.
Over Minnesota, Green Bay?
Well, I didn't say it was the storyline of the day. I'm talking about the best two teams playing each other.
Oh, boy.
I want to watch Brett Favre.
3.5. Ravens at home, favored by 3.5.
Ravens by 3.5 over the undefeated Denver Broncos.
Yeah.
It is an interesting game. You know, I haven't really been a big believer in the Denver Broncos.
I know.
Undefeated.
Even though Josh is your boy.
Even
coming
though I love Josh. Coming off a bye, I'm going to jump on the bandwagon, which means he'll have his first loss of the season, but I am going to take the Broncos to win on the road. As much as we kind of anointed Baltimore a good team, a team with some balance on both sides of the football, they haven't been all that good since. So I'll just go with Denver to keep it rolling.
I can't do it. I think this is the week I think this is the week that they fall from the ranks of the undefeated. Not going to be a blowout or anything, but I think that Baltimore will win by, you know, more than three, so I'll go with them and the points.
I'm going to take Baltimore to win the game, but I'll take the half point. I think they win it by a field goal, and Denver keeps it close. I think it's the best game. I think Baltimore has lost three games in a row, all in the last 10 seconds.
Yep.
So they very easily could be 6-0 if for one play in each of those three games. So I think they find a way to get back after the bye. They get back on the winning track.
Yeah, this is an interesting game. I think the key to this game is Denver's defense. I think that's, you know, they have a better defense than people thought they would. They're doing it with speed. They're doing it with smarts. I think it's the defense that wins this game for Denver. I'm picking Denver, and I hate doing it. I hate doing it, but I got to do it.
Why do you hate doing it?
I don't want Josh McDaniels to win another game in this league.
In this league.
I don't understand.
Cleveland is at Chicago, Andy.
I understand you're all in with the Patriots, but the head Patriot, Bill Belichick, is all in being okay with Josh McDaniels.
Well, that's fine. That's good for him.
How can you hold a grudge and he doesn't?
I hold a grudge now. I have developed a grudge.
Why do you even try to figure these things out?
I have developed a grudge, and I'm sticking with it.
Based on things that you've seen?
That's right.
Yeah.
What, because he hugged somebody?
It's just nonsense. All that carrying on.
Okay, go ahead, Paul.
Cleveland is at Chicago. The Bears are favored by 13.
Ooh. I'll take Chicago to win and cover because I hate the Browns. They stinky.
What's with the baby talk all of a sudden?
I know.
I got nothing. I didn't watch any games last week.
See,
how can I actually
give an
analysis?
You had all that meat, that red meat. I was getting a little bit. I'm tired.
I really am. Is there tryptophan in steak or something? Like I am.
Well, the blood rushes to your stomach.
We need as much of the steak as you did, probably.
I ate one steak.
I'll take Chicago.
The rest of us had a half of one.
Right.
I'll take Chicago to win, Paul. You know what? I'll take Cleveland with those points. I know it's stupid. Probably not a good move, but for some reason I think it'll be a closer game than people think.
I'm going to take the Bears to blow them out. After what happened in Chicago last week, I got to think they bounced back. They got blistered in Cincinnati. They're a better team than that. I don't think they're a very good team. Well, I mean, you had no access to the scores?
I may have had access. I've yet to see them.
Well, I didn't know.
I don't know what's stopping you.
I didn't see one highlight. I just saw that they lost like 45-7 or something.
I don't need show prep.
I'll take the Bears to roll, and I think it's going to be my knockout pick. What do you think?
I think that's a pretty good pick. I'll also pick the Bears to win, but I will take the points.
Well, that's not a great knockout pick. I'm a little worried about that. Houston. At Buffalo.
I know. God.
The Texans are a road favorite by 3.5.
I'll take the Texans to win and cover. Playing decent football right now. You know, Matt Schaub leads the NFL in touchdown passes. you know, kind of under the radar. I don't think everybody expects that. I just think they're, as long as he's healthy, they have a chance to win.
Bengals don't play, so you can't use your other one.
They have a chance to win games that they should win. They get in trouble when he gets injured, and right now he's healthy.
Yeah, Buffalo's played pretty well of late, but I don't think they're going to play well enough at home to beat the Texans. I think they're the more talented team, and I think they'll show it this week. So I'll take them, give the points.
Yeah, Buffalo has won its last two games, but they were thoroughly outplayed in both games. Don't believe any of that mirror crap. They got dominated in both games, almost 4-1 in yards against the Jets, 3-1, I think, against Carolina. That ain't going to continue. Houston finds a way to win.
Would you swallow the NFL notes?
Yeah, I mean, I could flip a coin for this game. That's a much, you know, how strongly I feel about either team. I'll go with Houston just because they can generate some points. I don't think Buffalo can. I mean, they just.
I agree.
Yeah. All right.
Here's Fred's game.
What's Marshawn Lynch doing this year?
I don't know.
He missed the first three. I haven't heard his name not once.
Freddie's game of the day, Minnesota at Green Bay. Green Bay by 3.
Well, that's a 4:15. We haven't done all the 1 o'clock games yet.
I don't care what order they are.
We're supposed to do 1 o'clock before 4.
I do them in order that they come in on the lines.
Oh, boy. All right.
It's not my fault they changed the schedule.
You know I loved the Green Bay Packers.
Averaging 2.9 a carry,
by the way. That's why I haven't heard his name.
61 for 174.
Stinks. I'm off the Packers. I'll take the Vikings.
Oh. Come on, crew neck.
I'll take Green Bay to win and cover.
Paul?
I will take the Packers, too. Yeah. I don't really care, but...
I've always been a Packer.
Why are you saying you don't care?
Because it's just...
Because everyone else, cares. He's
Paul,
a contrarian.
He is.
No, I'll... Listen, it's not... This has really nothing to do with Favre. I don't think that division is very good.
So what?
I don't think it's very good football.
It's theater.
Well, if I want to go to the theater, I'll go to the theater.
Could this weekend.
Yeah.
It's a bye.
There's no way that Green Bay allows Minnesota to come in and win this game. You got to go with the Packers.
It's going to be a close one, though.
How is there no way? I don't think Green Bay is good enough
there's no way. Freaking way. Okay?
So you think the referees will make sure of it?
Book it.
You think the officials will make sure
Absolutely.
Of it? Yeah, I agree.
It's in the bag.
All right, San Francisco is at Indy.
I always will be a Packer.
Where the Colts are favored by 12.
I'll take the Colts to win and cover in the beginning of the Alex Smith era. Some of my former San Francisco insiders not big on Alex Smith. I will go with their knowledge of him at the quarterback position in that team and go with the Colts to continue to roll.
What's up, baby?
How you doing?
Good. You?
All right. I'm going to go with
that relevant.
I'm going to go with the Colts. I'm guessing that was Peyton Manning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know who it was. This guy, he goes months without playing anything, and now he's playing, you know, unloading the little digital box in there.
12 points, you said, Paul?
12 points.
I'll take those points. I think the Niners will make it close.
Where's your picks? You don't have your picks in
place. I know.
How are you making these picks?
Yeah, I think this is a tough one. I mean, I definitely like Indy to win the game, but 12 points is a lot. However, I'm going to lay the points. I'm going to go with the Colts. I think they're playing very well right now. And with Alex Smith, I think Andy's right. I'm not sure that he, with the game that he knows, he played pretty well last week off the bench, but now he knows he's playing. I don't think it works out as well this time.
I'm going to go with the Colts. Got to go with that.
To cover
Why are you going with that voice?
Because that's a
He could save it for this one, Freddie. Miami is at the Jets.
Right.
just for the theater of it, you should be interested in this game. The Dolphins, I'm sorry, the Jets are favored by 3 at the Meadowlands.
Oh, boy.
Really? That tough?
Yeah, I'm not sold.
There are a couple of teams.
Pretty bad. Which team? One?
Either one. Team.
They're
two
mediocre teams
right
now. I mean,
I will go with the Jets to not allow Wildcat issues again. And Bart Scott claims they're the Wildcat killers. Mark Sanchez has a good game, couple touchdowns, no picks. Jets win at home. It's at home, right?
Yeah, they're at home. I'll take the Jets as well. I think they're the slightly better mediocre team, and they're at home. That's what I'm going with.
I think the Jets absolutely lay a whooping on Miami in this game. I think that Andy's right. I think they shut down the Wildcat. I think they're embarrassed by their defensive performance in the Monday night game a few weeks ago. And I think Miami is going to be very down after blowing a game at home that they should have won, you know, against the undefeated Saints. So I think all signs point to a big, big win for the Jets.
You know, I know I'm going to pick the Jets as well. But, you know, one of the things that I think, if even Rex Ryan with all his bluster and everything, he should probably have a talk to is with Bart Scott. Bart Scott's talking about he needs to learn, you know, who to hate. In the AFC East, you know, he's learning these teams and learning how to. I mean, he goes into each game. We talked about Rodney Harrison having this, you know, make-believe incentives. After Bart Scott takes it to another level, you know, he's got this hate list that he needs to have for every team, guys that he hates. It's where I think he's going to get into trouble with that.
Why is that not okay?
I just think
it's not right
that he's making it public.
I think I think it's too emotional. You know. It's too emotional.
I like Bart Scott.
So, but I have to pick the Jets in this game as well.
I'm going to go with the Jets.
St. Louis go with the Jets. At Detroit.
We got a bonbon.
Oh, yeah.
I'll take the home team
Lions
Detroit.
By 4.
Take the home team Detroit to win and cover. St. Louis, stinky.
Yeah, I like Detroit in this game. They're at home, and I think they're, like the previous game, the slightly better bad team.
Is
and,
the quarterback playing?
I don't know. You have
Stafford?
The computer open.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's going to go to NFL.com. It won't tell him any information.
They'll win by 7.
I'm going to take the Lions, too. I'd feel better if I knew that Stafford were playing or not, but I just think that they're better.
I'm clicking, and it's not working.
It's not a surprise. Who are you picking?
I'm picking Detroit.
Hey, quick question. Why did the Cavaliers wear their solid uniforms at home the other day against the Celtics? Don't NBA teams wear white at home?
Generally, yes. They decided to wear their dark uniforms at home, and the Celtics wore their white uniforms at home. So, I don't know.
Bizarre.
I thought maybe they were changing up like the NHL did a few years ago. But, no. Seattle at Dallas.
According to the injury report, Stafford is not listed.
Okay.
So
maybe he'll be playing.
So it's take off that for what?
So the game is off the board for no reason. Seattle at Dallas. Cowboys favored by 9.5.
Ooh. I don't like counting on the Cowboys to score that many more points than their
opponent.
Can't
figure them out this year.
I'll take them to win, and I'll take them to cover. I'm not big on Seattle. I think they're soft as can be in the big house in Dallas. Dallas rolls. It's one of their. They'll be feeling good about themselves after this.
Yeah, I can't figure Dallas out. They win games they're supposed to lose. They vice versa. I don't know. They're supposed to win this game. I'll take them, and I think I'll take the points too.
You'll take the points, or you give the points?
I'm sorry, give the points.
All right, I will take the Cowboys to win the game, but I'll take the 9.5. I think that's too many. And Seattle will keep it close.
Now, Dallas blows them out, and all of a sudden everybody, oh, Cowboys are back, and they won't
be.
You
know. And they won't be.
They won't be back like the Patriots. Oakland at San Diego.
Oh, why does he always have to bring it right back?
Because he's everything but Patriots.
He
Paul
really
Carillo.
Is. He really is.
Negative.
Because I love going like this to you.
Negative.
And you take the bait every time. Chargers by 16.5.
Oh.
Ooh. You know, the Raiders were feeling good, and Seymour, they were fighting the good fight, and Seymour had them playing and guaranteed playoffs. Yeah, I'll take the Chargers to win and cover. I think they will roll. It will unravel in Oakland. Nothing ever to feel good about when you're an Oakland Raider.
I'll take the Chargers to win. But give me those points. I think that's a lot, even for the Raiders.
I will take the Chargers. I'll lay the points. I don't like laying that many points with anybody, but you never know with Oakland.
You don't.
You know, they either have these games where they don't score at all, and if they don't score at all, the Chargers will cover.
Yeah, I'm going to take the points, but I think San Diego wins. But, you know, they got
CP3 in the house.
They got embarrassed last week against the Jets. I think, you know, they'll play a little bit better, cover the spread.
Andy, Jacksonville at Tennessee, the Vince Young-led Titans by 3.
The Vince Young-led Titans will not win. I'll take Jacksonville. He's always dangerous for a little burst. You know, he has that it when it's going. But sometimes that it is ugly passes and picked off passes. And I'll assume that's the Vince I'm going to get, even though I still love him from his days at Texas.
I agree. I think Jacksonville wins this game, and the Titans just continue their swoon. I don't see Vince Young being the elixir that they need on that team, so I'll go with Jacksonville.
Yeah, I'm going to take Tennessee to get into the win column, but I wish that it wasn't because I wish Vince Young weren't playing because I'd feel a lot better about it. But I think Jacksonville's just a terrible team and they won't win on the road.
Believe it or not, I am with Paul. This was going to be my upset of the week. Tennessee gets into the win column. They're not going to go 0-16. This is the week that they win.
Okay,
it's a tough one. Yeah,
just to continue with the Fred Kirschisms. His upset of the week is the Tennessee Titans, who are a 3-point favorite at home against Jacksonville. Moving right along, Carolina is at Arizona.
I don't know who makes these spreads, but I still say it's
Jacksonville's
an upset.
Terrible.
Well, they're not as bad as Tennessee.
Teams. It's two terrible teams, and they're the home team's favored. Well, anyway, Carolina at Arizona. Cardinals by 10.
Carolina at
like how I did that CP3?
By 10. I'll take Arizona because they're at home, and I would be happy to never pick Carolina ever again. They stink. Bill Cowher, you think, in waiting? Supposedly he's the Carolina
right?
guy. And
I think John Fox wants to be fired because why else would he not be pulling the plug on Jake?
Maybe he can't. Is it his decision? They gave him money in the offseason. It might not be his decision.
I never understood that philosophy in sports.
Who's running that team now? Both Richardson boys are gone.
Oh, you mean for ownership?
Yeah. You know.
I don't know.
Richardson, I think.
Didn't they elevate somebody else?
Not sure he
else?
Has the heart for the job.
That's terrible.
That's just not
you know, no, it, the whole franchise is having a little bit of a problem right now. So.
But I just never understood the philosophy of you pay a guy money and then he doesn't perform and you have to keep playing him because you gave him the money. Well, now he's hurting you twice. You're wasting money and he's hurting you on the field. At least if he wasn't playing anymore, you're only wasting money. Someone else conceivably could be playing better than he is.
Well, the good news is he was hurting them on the field before they gave him the money.
Well, I'm not even attacking them for their decision to pay him. That was just dumb. But I think it's even dumber to continue to play him week after week when he's turning the ball over four times.
That's the way it works in sports. If the GM signs him and the GM wants him to play, the GM's playing him.
Yeah, and I don't understand.
I'll take Arizona. They're playing better now than they were earlier in the season, more consistently. I think they're going to whoop up on these Panthers.
Yeah, I like Arizona, too. I don't know how you can have any faith in DeLome the way he's throwing 3 picks every week.
Yep, you got to go with Arizona.
All right, then. What do we got left here?
Two more.
New York football Giants at Philadelphia. Eagles at home by a point.
Eagles by a point. Interesting. You know, the Giants were the best team in football a while back.
Yeah.
For that
same thing kind of happened last year, only it was a little later in the year.
Yep. And the Eagles obviously had their struggles, kind of got back in the big play way this weekend, and DeSean Jackson. I will take I think the Giants are the better all-around team, so I'll take the Giants. Plus, I think the Eagles are a little banged up. Westbrook got concussed, and I think they had one other injury, so I'll go with the Giants.
I agree. I like the Giants in this game, too. I think they are the better team overall, and I think Andy's right. The injuries are starting to maybe take a little toll on Philadelphia, so got to go with the Giants.
Yeah. Westbrook's hurt. How'd they ever see
that?
Yeah, you never see that. Right?
I like the Giants. I still think the Giants are a formidable team, despite the fact that they've hit a little bump in the road here. I think they find a way to get a win on the road.
Oh, absolutely. Giants are a knockout pick as far as I'm concerned in this game. Wow. I think by the end of the season, Philadelphia won't even be a factor.
It's going to be a bad day for Philly because New York's going to win in the World Series in Game 4.
Any particular reason besides Samuel and Hobbs? I mean, why the hate all of a sudden?
McNabb is he's not going to be good.
Oh, okay.
Not going to be. Good.
All right, wrapping it
he's
up at 5
with up, those fans 10 years ago. I agree with you. I think he stinks. But.
Paul agrees with me. He's just playing devil's advocate.
I don't think much of the Eagles. I do agree with you. I just was wondering where the Patriots aspect was. There's a hidden Patriots element to your hatred.
I wasn't even thinking about Samuel and Hobbs.
Am I wrong about that? The random hatred for other teams
I don't
is
hate,
never random.
I don't
Denver?
Hate.
That's random hatred.
No, that's
usually
not
there's
random.
A Patriots
that's
element.
Not random.
Yeah, usually there's a Patriots element.
There is a Patriots element in Denver.
Right. Right. And I was looking for the Patriots element in Philly.
We've reached the point.
But
okay, let's move on.
I don't hate the Eagles.
You just said that you think they stink. They're terrible.
That doesn't mean I hate them.
And at the end of the year, they're going to have no wins.
That doesn't mean I hate them. I'm just telling you the
facts. Atlanta at New Orleans for the Monday night game to finish it all up here. Saints by 10.
Saints by 10. I'll take the Saints to win. And I will take them to cover. I don't feel great about it. I think it's going to be right in that range, right around the number. Maybe I'll get lucky and get a push.
Yeah, the Saints are definitely the better team. Where's the game again? I'm sorry.
New Orleans.
In the dome.
Yeah, it's at the dome.
Yeah.
I'll have a large Pepsi's.
Boy, I'm picking way too many teams with the number this week. I'm going to do it again with Atlanta. I think 10 points is going to be a lot, even though New Orleans is the better team, but...
That was the way to go last week, right? All the favorites won?
Yeah, big time. All the bookies had a bad week.
What are the chances it happens 2 weeks in a row, Eric?
Four underdogs he took.
Yeah. That's a lot for me.
I will take New Orleans and also take the points as well. I think the Saints had one of those good wins that you have when you think you're a good team and you don't play well on the road and you find a way to come back. That's a good win. I think they used that.
They exploded. After scoring 3 points, what did they end up with, 48
or 46?
46.
They certainly think they're
a good
team.
That's unbelievable. Yeah, they carried over.
Just ask Reggie.
They carried over in cover against Atlanta. So that does it for the picks for this week.
Well, now we have 5 minutes to fill.
Well, Chris Price is here.
CP3.
How you guys doing?
Good. How you doing?
But not bad. I'm right there with you on New Orleans. I like the New Orleans team a lot, man. I really do. They're doing.
They'll kick you right off this station, my friend. I better. You better watch it.
Then how are you on this station?
Contractually obligated.
Because this is not a station.
I'm just wondering at what point do the New Orleans reporters start to call up, you know, Mercury Morris and Bob Rosenberg.
Well, you got to at least get double digits before you even start thinking
about it. The Colts at least have to play us in a couple of weeks because the Colts had a pretty easy schedule, but then they're going to have the test with the Patriots. After the Patriots game, I wonder if they start getting in that mix, too.
They have to play Pittsburgh, too, right? Or do they?
They may play them later, but they don't play them before then.
No.
It's things set up really nicely for the Saints to get, other than the Patriots game, to get double digits, I think. And again, I mean, we're going to start that talk. I think it's going to, you know, it's going to pop up again. They're going to hit double digits. I just like the way that they're doing things on both sides of the ball. That defense is a lot better than I thought it was, you know, the first half of last week's game aside when they gave up, you know, 30-something points to Miami. But I really like the way that they're operating. I really, really
Who has a better chance of going undefeated this year, Indy or New Orleans, in your opinion, Chris?
I'm going to say New Orleans. Yeah. I'm going to say New Orleans because that NFC South is not.
That conference is horrible.
Yeah, the answer is definitely New Orleans, just looking at these schedules. Indy, real quick, has New England at Baltimore and then Denver a few weeks after that, plus the Jets, which could be you know, reasonably difficult.
Yeah. Yeah.
New Orleans has New England, obviously, at Atlanta, Dallas at home, and then you know just dregs.
Yeah.
Carolina, at St. Louis, at Tampa, Tampa at home, at Carolina.
So if they get past that Patriots game, and we're going to assume that Patriots game is going to be a pretty good game, then we can start talking in earnest about them maybe running the table.
Yeah, I don't see either one of them doing it. But,
and I start getting out the voodoo dolls because no other team can be 16-0. So that's
good solid hatred.
I just want to hear Mercury Morris again. I want to hear Mercury Morris in the public eye. I want to see Mercury Morris on First Take.
He was great.
Jason, play back the interview that we had with him right here on the show.
We had him on the show, and you know we were ready to just kill him, and he was really good.
Yeah, you can't hate him. By the end of the interview,
we were like, "You're right. You're right, man. Those 72 Dolphins were underrated."
You know something? He's got something there. He's making a lot of sense.
No, he's good. All right, Chris. So on your show today, you're going to have Peter King.
We have Peter King. We have a hell of a show, and it's not just because Eric Scalavino sitting in for the first hour.
Scalavino,
yeah, we know.
Yeah, frankly, we got Peter King at 2:15, and then at 3 o'clock we have Russell Baxter from ESPN.
Baxter. Right. So that's good.
Spanish.
It got a good show. It's a really, really good show. It's worth sticking around.
All right. Well, that's coming up right after this. As for us, thanks for listening today, and we will see you next Tuesday.